This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Everyone, welcome to Non Sequitur. Okay. See, you know, I've just got to where I wait on it now. It's a clear. I've accepted the no smooth start now. So, at least we got it under the belt now. We're good for the rest of the show.
Welcome to Non Sequitur Show. I'm Steve, and this is my partner Kyle.
I even have wrote out over top of my, you know, where my camera is, the I came up with this really kind of cool thing that I wanted to stick where I'm like, I do the, you know, kind of news anchor. Hello, YouTube. We need to have a discussion tonight about flat Earth. But, you know, do the tonight part and what follows it with whatever the subject matter is. And it's been up there for 2 weeks and I have yet to read it because I'm always doing the we are live, right?
Yeah, that's my producer speaking. I love saying that though. My producer's telling me in my ear.
Yeah.
That's and totally by the way, the producer's in the middle this time. He's actually in the middle of us in the middle here.
Right. Guys, look out for that that catch line because it is coming. It will make its debut and it will be glorious, but so far not so glorious. But
I think you're Silent Bob.
Oh, damn.
You are. He totally does. We can totally
Silent Bob and Gandalf. This is awesome. Actually, I got called Seth Green today. Did you see that? Somebody said I look like
Billy Connolly. I don't understand that.
You do look like Billy Connolly.
Oh God, what's wrong with you people?
You do look like Billy Connolly.
I guess you said like Sean Connery or something. That'd be better.
I've gotten that one, and then the other one that it was a couple weeks ago. They said that I look like Brendan Fraser, which he's one of those that you. I don't know if that's a compliment or not because some days like the Mummy Brendan Fraser is awesome, but early Brendan Fraser not so much. So hopefully they saw the Mummy recently. Oh, but
Frank, are you muted or can they hear you? Oh, okay. He is muted for a reason. Okay. Yeah. But you can wave to everybody and let them know you're there. Okay.
Yeah. But tonight we are going to have a discussion about flat Earth, even though last time we said we would never do flat Earth again because, Wotan, you, you're cool, but you flat Earthers, man, you're vicious and you come out with daggers like after the show. And Steve and I were just like you, just like everybody else. We just sat and watched. What happened with that last debate? We had no part in it. Why bring your hatred over here, Wotan?
I did not. bring any vitriol or anything into that debate.
but you know, we welcome it. We're actually having we actually pin the worst comments that we get to the top. So if you're interested in trying to make that list, we welcome that as well. We have a bit of a last minute switcheroo tonight on two fronts. I'm gonna let Steve kind of talk about why Reds couldn't be here, or if he can. I'm not sure if that's something that. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, not yet. I mean, it's okay.
I think that's an important thing to remember, and then that way we can remember, you know, kind of show him in our thoughts. So, Steve.
So basically, what we had planned originally was to have Res Rhetoric, you know, the leading flat earth debunker on YouTube, and a friend of the Non Sequitur show, be a part of the conversation tonight and have a discussion with Wanton. Unfortunately, one of our mutual friends, Sean Hufford's father, had passed away, and he's helping him with various things, and so he has to obviously reschedule sometime. So we tried getting a substitute. The substitute we had, unfortunately, was here available about an hour ago or so, but then has fallen off the planet, which may mean that it is maybe flat because he's not here. So we had to get another substitute by somebody that I had talked to last night and asking for a substitute. And that, of course, is the wonderful Rumpus. So what has now come to fruition is that we're going to have the Rumpus and Votan. By the way, that's how he wants to have his name expressed. Votan.
Yeah, we apologize for saying Wanton this past week.
I still like Wanton, but Votan sounds a little more proper. So I'm going to go with Votan, although it does remind me of Voltron. But
see, there's another interesting aspect to this debate that we have not told you about yet. And up until this point, it hasn't hit me either, but I think it's something that at some point could be a bit of a an interesting aspect to this show. So in trying to find the sub, we added two names to the call that we thought were the guy and still may be the guy. However, one of them obviously isn't. So at any point, we could have two additional people who answer our Skype call request and hear what's going on and may get really frightened. So we may have to be there for them. So if you hear sobbing in the background, at least you know probably where it's coming from.
Fair warning, right?
You have your fair warning. So let me get through a couple of shows that we've got coming up, and then we'll get the discussion going right on. So tomorrow, we're actually having the Egyptologist, Dr. Maggie Bryson. She will be coming to talk about the secrets of the Sphinx and the Great Pyramids. I think we've touched on it briefly that I have a bit of a conspiracy theory-minded thought about those. And I don't usually think that way, but in this case, I do think that there's something more behind it. So I'm going to get those questions answered, hopefully, tomorrow, and bring your questions. You can leave those in the Discord or in the live chat. Friday is going to be a interesting show. And I don't know if you guys remember, but we had Rags on, who is a big gamer here on YouTube, over a quarter million subs. Really cool guy. He doesn't know anything about the religion that is kind of getting prominent now, called the Black Hebrew Israelites. So we are going to be joined by a representative of the Black Hebrew Israelites, and we're going to let Rags come in to conduct an interview as somebody who doesn't know anything about that religion. So he'll be learning for the first time exactly what they believe. And in many aspects, I will be too, because I don't know that much.
Just as a minor point of clarification, he's not a Black Hebrew Israelite. He is a Hebrew Israelite that doesn't believe there's a distinction between Black Hebrew Israelites and Hebrew Israelites. Just as a
point. That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's something called the 5%ers, which he'll get into, but it's a very small percent of this kind of already subgroup of a subgroup kind of thing. So
to clarify, though, so that I want to make sure that I'm right in this, Steve. There is a group of the Hebrew Israelites that call themselves the Black. Yes. That's not me.
There's Black Hebrew Israelites. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. But he is not one of them. I mean, that's an important
distinction. Right. He doesn't identify with Black Hebrew Israelite.
Okay. Well,
he's a real nice guy. I mean, I'm telling you, it's very really weird. Usually we get the lunatics, right? They have all these fringe things, but here's a guy that I think has a very fringe position, who's actually well-spoken, nice, and very friendly.
Yeah. It'll be a good, interesting show. I mean, especially for somebody who doesn't know, much about what we'll get into that Friday, but there's a lot to kind of unpack there. So join us on Friday, and I'm going to leave it there for now. You can check out the rest of the schedule online at nonsecshow.com facebook.com/schedule or on the Discord server. And now let's get on with what shape the Earth is.
Yeah, let's dive right into this because I know Rumpus is in UK, so it's probably very late for him tonight. So we don't want to keep him up past his bedtime. So where do you guys want to start in this? I know that Votan, you have a little few minute presentation. So how about you just start us off with that, and then we'll allow Rumpus to do the same, and then you guys can have your discussion. Sound good?
Sure.
Awesome. Go for it. Take it away.
So what is simpler? That airplanes flying in opposite directions, both west and east, traveling at the same speed, both reach their destinations at the same time, is due to the fact because the air is somehow, some way, traveling at the same speed as the Earth is moving. And then when the airplane takes off, it's automatically going at the same speed as the Earth. Or is it just simpler to say that the reason why both airplanes traveling in opposite directions that the Earth is spinning, the reason why they reach the destination at the same time, like from New York to LA or from LA to New York, the reason why there's very a negligible difference in the time is because the Earth is simply not moving. Also, how come when helicopters take off from the ground, the Earth doesn't spin underneath it? It's the same exact reason. What is easier to assume? That the Earth is spinning and then the air is spinning, and then when the helicopter takes off, the helicopter is also spinning? Or does Occam's razor simply tell you that the Earth is not spinning? And the reason why the helicopter doesn't, the Earth doesn't spin underneath it is just because the Earth is not moving. When I go outside and I don't feel anything spinning, the reason why I don't feel anything spinning is what you guys tell me is that you don't feel speed. You only feel acceleration. Again, what is simpler? The fact that when I go outside and I don't feel anything spinning is because of the fact that I don't feel spin and the Earth is spinning and the air is spinning and we're going around the sun and the sun is going around the galaxy, flying through the space at 1.5 million miles an hour. Or due to the fact that when I go outside and I don't feel anything spinning, it's because nothing is spinning. Occam's razor tell me that nothing is spinning. Bodies of water do not curve. Water is form. Do not curve. Water is formless. Water is shapeless. It pools and does not have the bonds, the viscosity, the elasticity, or the ability to support shear stress. The body has to be contained and will take the shape of its container. If a body of water is at a declination at any point across its surface, the water flows, finding the least path of resistance to reach its lowest energetic state, where it will seek, find, and remain level. So I'm going to end this with a question. Do you have an experiment disproving all of everything that I just said and proving that water can conform to the exterior of a shape by gravity alone?
He's not angry at all.
Well, okay. Well, Rumpus gets you up there. Start on that where you will.
Yes. Okay. I was just making some notes there. Sorry about the typing. Right. We have pictures of the Earth, of course, and we know it's round. We can also measure it's round. You can get a theodolite, get it over near some water, get the horizontal, see what the dip angle is to the horizon, and you yourself...
Well, no, I asked you if you have an experiment.
Yeah, well, hold on. I'm going.
Well, let him get through.
Well, I'm going to make several. You made several points, and I'm going to go through some of them.
Yeah, you got. Let him finish his thing there, like Votan.
Votan, yeah, it's early, man. Save that strength.
You're going to need it, yeah.
Right, so, you can go out and establish that the Earth is spherical simply by going out with a theodolite and looking out over the sea and seeing there's a dip angle. And from that simple calculation, I think if you're an American, that's, I think, about $50 worth of renting that piece of equipment, a theodolite. It's about £30 in this country, in Britain. And so you can work out the radius of the Earth. This is what was done in the 11th century by, I think it was an Afghani in Iran. He simply went to the top of a mountain and measured the dip angle. And from that, you can determine the radius of the Earth much more accurately than Eratosthenes did when he put out his sticks. So you can even yourself personally determine the radius of the Earth from your own experiment. Obviously, we have the pictures from every space agency in the world, ranging from NASA to the European Space Agency. They've obviously got pictures of the Earth. You can see it's spherical. Obviously, just the fact that we have if you've ever experienced a sunrise or a sunset, that's only possible on a spherical Earth, not possible on a flat Earth. And of course, on a flat Earth, The sun would have to change size as it moved around the Earth. It doesn't change size. It's perfectly its angular size remains perfectly constant, and that's because it's a long way away, and of course the Earth is spinning. We can measure gravity simply by dropping something, is standing on some scales. You can see what there's an attractive force to the centre of the Earth, and we know that if you move around, wherever you go on the Earth, it always pulls down. We can demonstrate gravity also in a vacuum, so we know that it's an attraction between masses, and we can measure this in experiments as well. But we know, you know, if we put something on torsion balance, as Cavendish did many, many hundreds of years ago, we can establish that the masses attract one another. So this is the reason why, for instance, the atmosphere is held to the ground, and I think the question about why the atmosphere rotates with the Earth, because any body which is rotating and that liquids do support shear stresses. I mean, for instance, if I were to stick a ruler in some syrup and I was to pull up the ruler, it would pull up with it some syrup around it. That is a fluid there demonstrating a shear stress.
Well, so syrup obviously has more viscosity than water.
That's right. Yes, that's correct. So it's a question of degree. But similarly, the same thing happens, and we know. And for instance, if you've ever, if you're next to something moving in air, say a car, for instance, and you are moving near that, you will be affected by that. If you're planes and things, as they move through the air, they also get shear stresses and boundary layers. For instance, it's a well-known physical thing, the body of science. If you pump water through a pipe. There is a shear stress on the pipe. If you have to put extra pressure in if you have a narrower pipe than you do if you have a wider pipe. So we know that shear stresses do happen in fluids, and it just so happens with air, it's slightly it's a lot less than it is with, say, syrup. So we know with fluids, and air is a fluid, it's a gas, but it behaves like a fluid. It conforms to the fluid equations, but it's just simply a much less viscous fluid than, say, syrup. And the reason you don't experience things like you were talking about what was simpler. The only reasoning you seem to have behind your whole thing was what's simpler. Well, I'm afraid life isn't necessarily simple. Quantum physics isn't simple, for instance. What you have to be, as Einstein said, you want the simplest explanation, but no simpler. And unfortunately, you seem to be going for much simpler than reflects reality. So, damn it, what was that? That was on a train. So you were talking about an aeroplane, obviously, just like in a train. I mean, if you were to throw up a ball inside a train moving at, say, 200 miles an hour, it would come back down in your hand because, of course, the train and the ball is going along at 200 miles an hour, and it doesn't lose that velocity. So when you throw it up, it's going at 200 miles an hour, goes up, and you can ignore the motion.
You're inside of a closed atmosphere, obviously. I don't know why people keep using that example.
Well, because the same is true of the Earth.
The Earth is inside of a closed atmosphere?
Yeah, it's effectively a closed system. There's very little. Do you understand the definition of a closed system? There are three sorts of systems. There's an open system where there's an exchange of matter and energy. Then there's a closed system in which there's no exchange of matter, but there is exchange of energy. And then you have an open system, which a closed system, which there's no exchange, or an isolated system. In which there is no energy or matter. So the Earth receives energy from the sun, but actually the matter exchange is so small, the matter coming in and out of the Earth is so small in comparison to the mass of the Earth, we can ignore it. So effectively it's a closed system. But it does have energy, so that's why it's not an isolated system. It receives energy from the sun, but it doesn't receive matter. Very negligible, so we can ignore it in effect. So similarly in a train, that's not actually a closed system, because the air can come in and out of the train through the doors. It's not a vacuum seal or anything. So, but it's a similar scenario. So in a train or an aeroplane, you know, you throw a ball up, it comes back down where it lands. And the same thing happens on the surface of the Earth with helicopters and aeroplanes. Effectively, and as you did accurately observe, the only force is equal to mass times acceleration. So if there is no acceleration, that means the velocity is constant. So then remember, that can be velocity is constant. It doesn't necessarily mean to set zero. So for instance, in space, if you were to fling something in space and it would go along in a straight line until a force caused it to change its direction. So you need a force to cause a change of direction, and you can only feel forces. And to feel a force, you have to have an acceleration. So in a train, you only feel the bumps that are going along because you're being accelerated up and down as it bumps over things, or it's not quite smooth. If it was perfectly smooth, you wouldn't feel anything if the train remained perfectly at a perfectly constant velocity. And you know, you could play golf on an aeroplane, you can play golf on a train as though you on, you know, if it's perfectly smooth, as though you were on on the Earth and station with respect to the Earth, of course. But so the Earth behaves exactly like being on a train or an aeroplane, except that it's much smoother in its operation. So that explains all of your problems with aeroplanes and helicopters, and the gravity explains why we've got atmosphere and why the atmosphere goes round, and the viscosity of the air, because it sort of gradually speeds up. There is a gradient of speed as the does it the for instance the top of the atmosphere is not going around with the same angular speed. I don't know if you know what angular speed is as opposed to linear speed, but the angular speed of the atmosphere at the top of the atmosphere is not the same as the bottom. And similarly, if you actually dropped an object, for instance, if you dropped an object from about 100 meters high due to the spinning of the Earth, we can detect it won't actually drop vertically. So, for instance, 100 meter, the 45 degree latitude, you were to drop something from a 100 meter tower, it actually comes down, I think it's 1.5 centimeters to the right, to the east, sorry, of where you dropped it. And that's because that the top of the tower is moving more quickly. You know, because like a tire, if you can imagine a tire rotating on an axle, the center of the tire is not rotating very quickly, but the outside of the tire is. Similarly, the 100 meter height of a tower means that the top of the tower is actually moving more quickly in linear terms, but it's moving in the same angular terms, which means it's got an extra velocity. It's actually going, if you drop something at the top of this tower, it's actually moving slightly more quickly in linear terms than the bottom of the tower. And hence, when it drops down to the bottom of the tower through gravity, it actually lands not quite at the base of the tower. So all these things combined, with the viscosity, the difference in velocity, the gravity, the what's called Galilean theory of relativity, which would account for why you don't experience forces because you're not changing velocity, accounts for all the things you've just described.
Yeah. So real quick. I think you addressed all his points. One thing if you don't mind me adding, I also think that for an isolated system, I would throw in information as well. No free exchange of energy, energy, mass, or information across the boundary of the system.
That's a good one.
That's why I learned it. So
it sounds like we can all go home now. I believe, Wotan, you are now a globetard, right?
No, thank you.
I
have a reputation.
Wotan has a question on experiment. So Rumpus, you had plenty of time to speak. How about Wotan? You give your question about an experiment that you're looking for, give this type of parameters, and maybe he can kind of help suss that out, because you brought that up before and I don't even know what you're kind of referring to. So
okay,
let me give you a few minutes to kind of explain what you mean by some kind of experiment other than like the Cavendish ones, which he already brought up, dealing with, you know, torque and stuff like that.
Take any object of any shape, of any mass, of any size, and make water levitate off it. Well, not levitate, but like float on it the way the water on the Earth is.
Okay. Right, so
with surface tension, right? Not that I'm talking about, like water with some depth around it, and okay, the water will convey the shape of the object underneath it.
Right. This is where I might want to share a diagram here, actually, if I could.
Absolutely,
Frankie.
We love Rumpus's diagrams.
It's really good. I'm glad we all
like
that.
They're infamous across the internet.
Yes, they are. I do seem to have quite a bit of reputation. I think several people just ask me not to. Am I going to present? They are.
I think he's getting ready to share it, Frankie.
Here we go. Right. So I'll just screen share this. I got on my. Here we go. Share screens. And
real quick, I can't look at Frankie the same now. Ever since the Silent Bob reference has been made.
Well, he has like Silent Bob and Jay as a poster too, and I always kind of, you know, thought there was a relationship there. But man, it is striking. I'll give him that.
Right. So right. Can you see that?
Yes.
Great. This is the diagram that I did actually for a specific example where there's a place in the United Kingdom about 60 miles away from an island, which people have claimed demonstrated the flat Earth, but of course it didn't. And they didn't, of course, being a flat Earther, they didn't understand what up and down was all about. So this diagram is all about up and down. So I don't know how clearly you can see it, but there's a sort of model of the Earth. And it shows this is where we are at 54 degrees. Or, well, actually, no, somewhat north of me, in the northern part of Britain, on the surface of the Earth. And this shows you where the ups and downs are. And this is effectively what Wotan was asking about, where how come water is held down, or effectively down, goes towards the center? Because of course everything goes towards the center of the Earth, because that's where all the mass of the Earth effectively acts mathematically as though it's actually at the center of the Earth. If you do the maths, all those points,
we'll try to break it down for like the people that are not really heavy in the math and science and physics. But you're basically saying that all the points equidistant on the sphere have the same gravitational force pulling inward towards the center.
Yeah, and they've drawn little ups and downs on these things to show the direction of up and down. So relative to the center. Yes, all going towards the center point here. And so so water, just like everything else, on just like stones and rocks and pencils, if you drop them, I mean, when you drop a pencil, it goes towards down, and that you'll find that's towards the center of the Earth. So wherever you are, so the water just behaves exactly the same. And because we live on a spherical Earth, and that's where the force of gravity effectively acts from the center of the Earth, everything's pulled. So a little bit of water over here at St. Bees, and it's going to be pulled just like this little bit of water down here in Australia. It's going to be pulled towards the center. And so it's going to follow the surface of the Earth. And just an interesting little part of this is a scale diagram I've got here of, just below that, so I'm not up down. Just below that, I have got a scale diagram of what, this is what 60 miles looks like, 68 kilometers looks like on the Earth. Now, I don't know, Wotan, if you can see that, but would you say that line between this point here, which is a place called Douglas, in a place called the Isle of Man off the coast of Britain, and up here is the St. Bees place I was just talking about, and that is a scale model. This is a perfect scale model between the two, with the curve of the Earth there. Would you say that line looks straight?
It does.
Great. But actually, if you zoom in here, you'll just see that in fact it isn't, and that's why you have great difficulty seeing curve, because that's actually the two scale. There's a little cliff face that I was showing. This is the scale here of 10 kilometers at the top left. That is what the Earth looks like, looking at 68 kilometers of it. So imagine you can very rarely see 68 kilometers. If your line of sight, if you were standing on the beach and looking out over the sea, was only 3 miles. And so this is why you won't be seeing curve unless you do various clever things. If you're looking along the line, I mean, if you've got a zoom camera, you can actually see the bulge here that you can see as I've zoomed in. That's about 200 or 300 meters high between those two points, and that's why things like boats and buildings are obscured. So a building in Douglas, or Douglas itself, in fact, actually is at ground level, and so if you're at ground level over here, you will not be able to see it because the Earth's curvature is in the way. And similarly with boats that sail over the horizon, you will then not be able to see the boat anymore because of that curve. But the curve is very gentle, and you can only see it looking across long distances. And the shot I'm showing you here is obviously a cross section. And of course, to see this, I mean, I'm effectively looking at the shot here. You'd have to be several 100 miles in space, or 100 miles in space to get the shot you're looking at here. And of course, that's much higher than the atmosphere.
And Rumpus, also correct me if I'm wrong, but since you're looking. If you could theoretically look in 360 degrees, because the curvature is curving at the same rate everywhere away from you, it's going to appear flat from your perspective, would it not?
Well, it appears flat across your line of vision because you can only see 3 miles. Imagine you were standing on a beach and you're 6 feet high. The distance to the horizon is only 3 miles, right. 3 miles, yes. So that means that you're looking across your line of vision. It's only 6 miles wide. That's as far, if you think of your field of view is about 45 degrees each way, so it's 90 degrees in total. You can only see about 6 miles across you. So imagine you can see here, this is the curvature I've got on screen here of 68 kilometers. So if you could only see 6 miles, which is only, 10 kilometers, you're only looking... You're only looking at this. You're only looking down. You're seeing this bit, this tiny bit here. So of course it looks perfectly flat. But when you're looking along, so there's a big difference when you're looking along. So if you're an observer looking along the line of sight, and don't not try to look left to right, but you're looking along the line of sight. And if you've got a powerful camera, you can actually see things that are, for instance, 68 kilometers away. So you can see a lot further. Going along the line of sight, and you can going left to right, and that's why things like boats and things you can see the dip that occurs, the curvature of the Earth.
Let me stop right there. Wotan, what do you
say for what you've seen so far? He's kind of giving you a step-by-step process through this. So what are your thoughts on what you're looking at?
I asked for an experiment showing that water can conform to the exterior of a shape and convey the shape that that is conforming to. And he goes to a diagram, which is not an experiment. And he goes into mathematical jargon, and he goes into things about the curvature of the Earth. I'm not talking about the curvature of the Earth.
I'm talking about showing me
an experiment.
No one's after you here. Relax and chill, man.
We just had a show on marijuana the other day. We're all fine to smoke.
I will respond to his points. I wasn't trying to evade his point. Sorry if I didn't go down the experiment route. Apologize for that.
Well, let's clear something up real quick. I don't think that there's going to be an experiment. Let me just ask flat out, Rumpus, is there an experiment that you're going to be able to show him that can accurately hold water to a sphere? I don't think that's going to be the case. So I want to hit that and then move on so we can go further into the conversation.
Well, that's right.
Why would that be a sticking point?
Okay. You know what I mean? Well, I've demonstrated earlier that there's the thing every time you drop a pencil, you're seeing gravity in action. When you get on a set of scales, you're seeing gravity in action. So we know there is a force there. And we know that water is no different to you. It's just like you're attracted to the center of the Earth, so is the water molecules. So they are going to behave like everything else and going to be attracted. I mean, I thought I'd cover this point earlier, I suppose, and attracted towards the center of the Earth. So that's why water will accumulate around the surface. If it's free to move around the sphere that I showed earlier, it's going to try and get as close as it can to the center of the Earth. And if the Earth is a sphere, then it will fall around the edge. If it was arranged in a sort of column, it would all fall around to try and get as close to the center of the Earth as it could. So I can demonstrate to you by the mere fact of the existence of gravity that there's a force acting on you. And similarly, this force, therefore, I hope you would accept, is acting on water. So if you hold water up, it falls to the ground. So there's a force acting on it. So if you accept there's a force acting on it and you know something about physics, you know that if I had a column of water, that every bit of that water is going to try and find the nearest point to the center of the Earth, which means it's going to then go around the side of the Earth, go around the surface of the Earth. So the experiment I've been saying to you is get on some scales. That proves or put some water on some scales. That demonstrates there's a force acting on it. And if you know a bit about physics and the way things behave when there's a force acting on them, you can show through logic that therefore that water will then surround whatever's attracting it. So similarly, you could have a similar experiment, for instance, if you had an electrostatic charge on something and you had oppositely charged. So things like magnets, if you had oppositely charged magnets and you put them on a ball, they would try and get to the center of the charged object. And certainly electrostatically they would if you pulled charged polystyrene things or something, if you know what expanded polystyrene is. So you can demonstrate the principle that things will try and form an equipotential surface. So, but obviously to do that, unfortunately, you need something as big as the Earth to have that force. And so unfortunately, I can't put the Earth as a black hole into an experiment. You have to accept, hopefully you do, that the Earth is very big, and unfortunately the gravitational forces are a direct function of the size of the object you're dealing with.
Right. So that's the problem that I have.
Let me interject real quick, because I want to make sure this point is not lost, Votan. What Rumpus said about experimenting with something like the Earth, what I think you're kind of asking is kind of an unfair question, because what you're saying is, in order to demonstrate that the water can stick on a rotating Earth, you need to make a rotating Earth and then see if water sticks on it. That's not how it's done in science, obviously.
Yeah, we want to move past that, Wotan. Can we do that and have a conversation about...
Well, that's my baseline, and anything that you say after that, I'm just not going to believe you.
Hold on, fair enough. Let me ask you this question then. Is that your only sticking point for why you believe that the Earth is flat?
No, I have others.
Okay,
I'd like to address this exact experiment, because hopefully, Wotan, you'll accept that you can do a small-scale experiment and scale it up. Well, so if I can demonstrate to you in an experiment that masses attract one another, and therefore that generates a much smaller force, but it's dependent on the mass, I can then say to you, well, look, if I then, make that mass, 200 million trillion times bigger, you're going to get a force that's 200 trillion times bigger. And therefore that would account for why water would then be attracted to it. Because I can demonstrate that water, a single molecule of water obeys these laws of being attracted to mass. But obviously with little masses inside a little experiment, it'll only be a very small force. So surely, hopefully you could accept that you can scale this up. If I make the masses bigger, the force goes up. And
how do you know it's going to behave the same way? How do you know water's going to behave the same way in the small scale that it is in the large scale? You don't know that.
We assert that.
You extrapolate off that, but you don't actually know that. You just assert it without any evidence, without any experiments. So that's why I don't believe you.
Well, we do have an experiment.
To be fair, you're asserting that the Earth is flat without much evidence as well, correct?
Well I'd just like to tackle it. I just like to tackle the null hypothesis. So
that's not a null hypothesis.
No, it is.
No, it's not a null hypothesis.
Hold on.
Let me just tackle the point. Before we get caught about null hypotheses, we can demonstrate via modifications of the Cavendish experiment, et cetera, that masses attract one another. That is also true of water. So we can just demonstrate the water. Sorry?
Which has been debunked. It's the most ridiculous.
No, it hasn't been debunked at all. There are little kits you can buy to do the Cavendish experiment yourself in your own room. Physics experiments around the world in universities do this every day. It's absolutely proved, and you can even prove it yourself with a kit that you can buy.
You can
buy kits to do this yourself and demonstrate the effect in your own house. And so we can demonstrate that it is proportional to the mass. Therefore, we know the water also by looking on scales and in a very clever experiment, you need to actually demonstrate the water. You can have a jug of water that you could replace the balls with and demonstrate the force exists there. So we can do an experiment to show that this force exists. Now, then we can double up the size of the balls and things and then say it becomes double the size of the force if you double the masses involved or the product of the masses.
So let me ask you both here. As Jared in the live feed, a friend clearly points out, these experiments could be done in microgravity, and they probably have been done in microgravity situations. But Votan, why is it that you think that if you have a sphere, would you agree that that sphere has mass? And if it has mass, it there has gravity. Or do you, putting aside the experiment, do you disagree with the fundamental concept that things with mass have gravity?
Of course, I disagree with the fundamental concept that mass has gravity.
The experiment that you're looking for makes no difference because the point needs to be going to your fundamental misunderstanding of physics, and that's what I think Rubbish should address. If you don't accept the physics, then there is no experiment that can show you what you're looking for. I think the question goes to is why do you think that mass doesn't have gravity? What experiment have you done to demonstrate mass doesn't have gravity?
Let's forget that for a second.
Hang on, Kyle.
We're not going to get past this.
Kyle, I'm not, no.
We're not going to have a type of show where we spend the entire point on one sticking point, okay?
But this is a very fundamental thing.
I can get into it briefly.
Wotan, listen. Listen to me for a second, okay? I want to ask you a question. I want you to be honest with me and serious, right?
I tried, guys. I'm sorry. I tried.
We asked you to come on here to have a discussion about your reasons for why you believe the Earth is flat. And although I know that you're not going to in any way agree that that experiment can be done, no matter how much we try to harp on it, it's going to be a waste of time. You're not going to concede that point. So I can see that. But you can't come into this thinking that that's the only sticking point. You know what I mean? Like, you want people to take you seriously, I'm sure, you know, because you guys, we mentioned before the show that you know, the worst thing you can admit to being is a flat earther. So in order to bolster a claim of being taken seriously, you can't just come in and say, well, you can't prove this experiment, therefore, I don't have to, you know, prove any other points. If you want to be taken seriously, you need to kind of come to the table with a thought-provoking argument. And we're not here, like, dogging on you or calling you stupid. Rumpus is showing you, science and things that can be proven. I know that you won't concede that, but we're coming at this. What?
I appreciate all that he's doing. I appreciate all the science and stuff that he does. It's just, you know, I don't agree with the gravity and all that.
So you're rejecting, you think all these physicists and all these experimenters who've shown this, documented it, and it's been accepted in scientific literature for hundreds of years, you're just going to say that all these professionals are wrong.
Yes, he is.
That's why I think it's very critical to get to the point. The heart of the matter is this, mass and gravity. And if you have an experiment that shows mass is not related to gravity, then you have a case. This whole discussion boils down to that very small crux, mass relating to gravity.
I have a thought experiment that mass does not correlate with gravity.
Awesome.
So
go ahead.
Gravity, mass, what it does, it bends space-time. Do you agree?
Yes.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so what you're saying is that, first of all, space has no physical properties. Space is not a physical thing. Space is just volume. It's just area. It's just...
Well, it does have properties. It has dimensions.
Right, but it's not a physical thing. It's not something that can...
Well, dimensions are physical.
It's a way of explaining an area.
And before you go too far...
I'm talking about space. Empty space is not a physical thing.
Before you go too far into this reasoning, I will tell you up front, I'm a scientific instrumentalist, not a realist. I don't know about Grumpus. So whether space-time or not is a physical construct is irrelevant to me if the theory of gravity works. If I can use it to explain and use it to predict things, that's all I care about.
Well, the very precipice of gravity is that it bends space-time, and space-time is not a physical thing. Space is not physical. Time is time. No, can I explain?
Sure.
So space is not physical, and time is also not physical. Time is a concept only. Time is a human concept. Time does not exist. Time is a concept. Time only exists when, even if you have a perfect void, and you have no matter at all, and it's just you in this void, time doesn't exist. The only way time exists is if you have like a water droplet dropping from a faucet, and it drops from the faucet at a predictable rate, and then you could say, oh well, when I read this book, it takes me, you know, 20 water droplets to read this page from this book. That's time. But it's not a physical thing.
That's contentious. That's what your opinion.
That's actually a philosophical question, Votan. I mean, do you know the difference between platonic time and reductionism when it comes to time? Because there are different theories of how time is thought of. There's a reductionist approach and there's a platonic approach. Do you know the difference?
No.
Okay. It's not relevant that he does. Let's get back to the flat earth discussion.
I just want to get to the core of my understanding of why I believe, but he's not understanding that
his assertions are merely assertions. He's saying these things are fact, and they're not.
You're not providing an argument to support your assertions.
Right, exactly.
What you're doing with space-time is you are metamorphizing, you're changing the nature of space and time, and you're making this amalgamation abomination, and you're saying that it's a physical thing that can be acted on by mass, by matter, which just goes against every single law of physics. Something that is not physical cannot be acted upon by something that is physical.
Yeah,
time is a constant.
That makes no sense. Space-time is a physical thing.
How do you bend time?
Because it's a physical thing.
It's not a physical thing. You can't touch time.
But we can change it. I mean, are you aware, if you go quickly, the time goes more slowly? Also, we can show that if you go, for instance, to the top of the Eiffel Tower, the time goes more slowly. More quickly. Are you aware of these effects on time? Sorry?
It's a concept.
Are you aware that time is it obviously must be a thing if it can be changed by gravity and changed by speed? It's not just a concept.
It can be changed by gravity.
Sorry, say it again, sorry.
You assert that it can be changed by gravity.
We've got measurements.
We've seen it changed by gravity.
We have measured with atomic clocks, you can go to the top of a tall building and show there's a differential. The GPS, system has got that as its fundamental heart, that the time taken for atomic clocks to work in satellites in space go more quickly than they do on the ground. Do you not see the problem
that you're running into? You're relying on satellites, which don't exist, which are totally fake, and you're saying that we've measured something in space.
There's an interesting point.
We've got proof. Through experimentation, that going to the top of a tall building, time goes more quickly than it does at the base of the building. That has been proved, demonstrated, verified, repeated. It's established scientific fact.
You can assert that.
No, it's not. I'm not asserting something. I've got the whole body of science is saying this. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have been involved in proving this, and it is verified, repeated by experiment and supported by theory as well.
So you're bending time.
You are denying hundreds of thousands of experimenters the results and the theory behind it. You're just basically denying science.
Well, Rumpus, how about we ask, though?
We have somebody that's going to join here in just a few that I think will kind of get this on a track that we want to...
Let's just ask real quick. So we do know, Voltan, would you agree that atomic clocks on Earth and higher in altitude do measure different times? Do you agree with that? We've done those experiments. It's a fact. You at least agree with that, right?
I've never witnessed it. You can link it if you want.
We accept for arguendo that we've done these experiments, because I guarantee that we have. But
these experiments have been done, Wotan. You can't deny them. You haven't done any experiments.
Yeah, you,
right,
you
so
have.
What does altitude have to do with gravity?
I'll explain.
I don't understand.
Okay, I'll explain.
Let Rumpus explain then.
I'll explain. the force of gravity, once you go above the surface of the Earth, the force of gravity decreases. So as you go higher, the gravitational field becomes less intense. Because the gravitational field affects the passage of time, therefore, with decreasing gravitational field, you get an increase in time. The Earth is effectively slowing down time. If you were near a bigger planet, near the sun, and obviously near a black hole is the classic case, it slows down time so much to make it crawl. But the Earth does a little bit. Even on the moon, it does a little bit. But the further you are away from a gravitational body, time goes further. This is an established, measured, scientific fact. And you have done nothing you accept and assert that, in your head, you just don't like to accept this. But I'm afraid this is an established, verified, scientific fact.
Rumpus, can you pull back to your main screen for a second?
So could we at least for arguendo say that the clocks do change so we can continue with this? So if that is the case, even if you don't accept it to be true, could you come up with a reason why these atomic clocks have different times other than general relativity? And there also is some special relativity involved because of the speed that moving at.
That's right.
But we're not going to get technical.
So, I did mention two things that cause the change of time. One is your speed.
You did.
The other one is gravity. There are two things we know that cause time to change differently, which means it is not just a concept. It is a thing that interacts with the physical world.
Yeah, that's a good point. There are two distinct things that can affect time, right? Gravity and speed. So we know that those there is a physical thing involved because they're being affected by two different, distinctly different factors. So yeah, I think of space time as one entity, as to get to say to Rumpus, I accept Minkowski overland like Neil Lorentzian, but I do think it's a physical thing because it's acted upon by two different things.
I mean, Wilton, you seem to be in denial of science and these thousands and thousands of experiments.
I'm in denial of fairy tales.
That's where we're getting rutted in.
You can bend space. Like, how do you prove space time? Can you prove space time?
Yeah, yes, because the gravity. But hold on, because general relativity made two predictions that could be tested. One, which was the bending of light around the sun in 1919. Eddington did this experiment, and he showed it was in contradiction with the Newtonian physics that light was bent twice as much as it should have been. And there is another experiment that was done. We can actually demonstrate that light is actually affected by the Earth's gravitational attraction. As light leaves, there's an experiment famously done in Boston, which I can't remember the name of the damn thing now, which shows that light is you get what's called a redshift associated with gravity. So, for instance, if you were to go near a black hole where there's an intense gravitational field, you become redder. And we can detect the same small effect actually on the Earth, where light is actually affected by gravitational effects. So you can get a gravitational redshift. So we can do these tests which demonstrate that the theory works perfectly. We can do actual tests.
How do you know it's gravity? It's not something else.
And also the orbit of Mercury also supports the general relativity theory.
Oh, but in the instance of the redshift over the black hole, how do you know that gravity is causing that and it's not something else, like some other kind of force?
Going into an area that's not your, it's like me.
Well, I just don't like when they assert things and they don't know what's there. Like black holes, you can't see black holes.
My point is, in these conversations, I don't interject because I don't know them, and I'm perfectly fine with saying I don't know anything about that sort of thing. The crux and where we're stalling, and we're not going to get anywhere except for a big circular argument where nobody's going to agree with anybody, is that these issues that you can't speak of to any authority, and there's nothing wrong with that because I can't either. And so therefore...
We shouldn't be handicapped by your understanding, though. I mean, if he's making claims
you're having the conversation with him. So it's if he's not going to go to that aspect, yes,
we should make him blame Moran. He's disputing things like facts that the general relativity explains the orbit of Mercury, which Newtonian mechanics doesn't. He's denying the existence of general relativity. He's denying the whole areas of science.
Can't explain that. But we have to make it clear.
We have to make it clear that that's what he's doing. He's denying experimental physics has been measured.
I mean, anybody that can listen, that's clear.
But Kyle, we can explain it, especially Rumpus. He has more experience than I do. But I'm not ignorant when it comes to science and physics. I can explain it. He can explain it. That's the point. Even a Votan can't explain it. We're trying to show people it can be explained.
But he's not going to concede that point.
Well, he doesn't have to concede that point.
This is not a class. This is not what I've done with this. Is not a classroom. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a.
It is a classroom. It's in the video description. Classroom stock.
You're not following. It's
but
so
we have to make sure that he we understand that he's denying the body of science. He's denying.
Yes. But what we need to find is a proof of example that he believes proves the Earth is flat, and then you guys can then take that other position in disproving that. Let's find a positive that he believes in instead of his like, oh, I don't believe that water can hold the truth inside of a globe.
Yeah, in other words, we should get him to stop just asserting things that have been proven to be true and assert something he has proof to make a positive claim. Yes,
because that's the only way this is going to be fruitful in any type of way. Otherwise, it's just circular.
He has made several positive claims so far about water and the airplanes and things
like that. And we would agree.
So I believe I've refuted all those.
You did not explain the water. You did not explain the airplanes.
I explained.
Well, he did actually.
This is where the gravity issue came up, because the gravity explains exactly why water, just like as I mentioned to you with electrostatic forces, and that things attract ground balls.
Well, it's your belief that mass bends space-time. That space-time is yet to be proven.
Well, we don't need to go there. We can just demonstrate, as Steve said, that we know that masses attract one another. If we can demonstrate masses attract, which we can, and you can do in your own bedroom, that we can show that, we can then say, water's attracted in the same way, and that explains the force of why water is attracted to the surface of the Earth.
And I have an experiment. I have a small experiment.
That's an extrapolation.
I have a small experiment, Votan. How about something like this? To do your helicopter example. If I have a rod that's in underwater, and I spin that rod, would you agree that there's going to be a very thin layer of water that's going to be going around with that rod at certain speeds? And as you go high, you know, further away from that rod, the angular speed is going to change, right? There's a difference between angular speed and linear. So you are going to have some of that water going to be due to friction, right? Due to cohesion and a few other things are going to be spinning along with that rod. And then as you extend out, you have less. Would you agree upon that?
Right, but it's not going to be going at the same speed as the rod.
Okay, well, but the Earth is very large, right? And because you have this atmosphere, the fluid, because atmosphere is a fluid, that is spinning at the same speed of the Earth. Rumpus, would you disagree with that?
Indeed, there is a slight gradient.
There's a gradient, yes, of course. But I'm talking about.
But fundamentally, it's all going around. But
the atmosphere is very small compared to the size of the Earth.
That's right. And so once you get something spinning, and of course, it gets lots of time to get up to speed, and eventually it becomes the shear forces. And as I mentioned very at the start about syrup, and you pulling that in and out, you can have shear stresses in fluids, and you have exactly the same with the atmosphere, but it's obviously to a lesser degree. But given enough time, it will spin up. And once you get the. If you accept, for instance, just like an airplane, you have a boundary layer. Once you get, you will start dragging. You must accept that the airplanes drag air with them. And if you do that on the surface of them, then you just do that for long enough, then you'll get there's a gradient profile of the moving other air. And if you do that for long enough, then it's gradually going to get a profile that's linked to the viscosity. And ultimately, you end up with the atmosphere rotating with.
I mean,
Earth.
again, you just extrapolate with no experiments.
That's not
what you're saying.
No experiments.
Shocking.
What I described with that
you're
gradient.
Comparing syrup to air. That's what you're doing right now.
It's
absolutely absurd.
Why you can extrapolate from what he said? It's not extrapolation. He's telling you the physics behind it.
How can you correlate syrup with air?
Because they're both fluids. It's just a different viscosity.
It's almost like somebody predicted we were right back here.
Syrup is way more. Of viscosity than air. What are you talking about?
But they're both fluids. They're still fluid dynamics.
You said they could. They're not. They are. Why can't you see it? They're just as a difference of magnitude. Why are you having such a problem with that?
Right, but that difference of magnitude. Now that might be. It might be so much so that the difference of magnitude. It doesn't happen in that. In the atmosphere that way. It doesn't go around with the Earth at the same speed. That could also be a possibility, right? It could be that syrup is such a huge difference between syrup and air that air is not going to behave the same way as syrup, no matter how long it.
But we've done experiments with this, Wotan. We've done
experiments that an atmosphere can go around the Earth at the same speed as the Earth.
Well, you can do experiments in this lab that show that it fluids like air are subject to, as I said, if you wanted to pump air through a pipe, I talked about this earlier, you would end up with a boundary layer, a series of gradient of where the air is affected by the size of the pipe. And that's why you have big pipes can take a lot more than small pipes, because the viscosity of the air, the shear stresses on them are much less, obviously, with a bigger pipe. If what you're saying is that something like air did not be subject to shear stresses, you'll be able that situation would not exist. I mean, there's loads of experiments on it. Go and look up pumping air through pipes, and they would talk about the boundary layer and the shear stresses of the air fluid, and he says it's just a case of magnitude. So
I don't know how anybody could disagree with that, to be honest.
I mean, this is incredible. Do you think it should suddenly stop?
Your experiments that Snyder has nothing to do with the air spinning around the Earth. You're talking about air.
No, hold on. But if you accept the principle that fluids can accept a shear stress, and that if you move something within a fluid, it will take some of the air through it and will drag it along, then you just imagine just scaling it up. It's just a simple scaling operation. Yeah.
But you don't know what happens at that magnitude.
If you could arrange an experiment for Rumpus to do, have you ever wrote out the methodological approach you would take and show what you would ask somebody to do? What would it entail?
You can't do it because it's impossible.
You can't say you can't do it and then say, give me an experiment. You need to design the experiment to say, here, go do this experiment. How would you design the experiment?
Design the experiment for take any shape, any object, any size, any mass, and what, and make water float around.
Did you hear this earlier?
Right, but
somebody
do you not
say that he was trying to demand an impossible?
Yeah, that was
potentially we would get to.
But the thing is, the fact that it's impossible.
I was trying to say the exact same thing.
Listen, the fact that it's impossible. Let's quote one of the greatest scientists to ever live, Richard Feynman. It doesn't matter how beautiful your theory is, it doesn't matter how smart you are. If it doesn't agree with experiments, it's wrong. So you cannot do
all this.
You cannot do an experiment.
You put the experiment forth. Exactly. You asked for the impossible experiment. Don't you see the utter hypocrisy in what you just fucking did?
Every experiment
that's the entire
done.
Fucking point. You asked him to prove something that
the experiment is impossible because it doesn't. It. The experiment is impossible because it doesn't work.
We can do a small scale experiment.
You know what's impossible that doesn't fucking work? Your brain, Votan. That's what it is.
God, Kyle's triggered.
I just spent 45 minutes listening to a rotational conversation about absolutely jack shit. I'm dumber for having to do this.
Rotational conversation. Literally,
you might have learned a bit about viscosity and temp and profile and pressure gradients and boundary layers.
Yeah, we could have gone to boundary conditions and Reynolds number and things like that.
But
it's insulting not only to Rumpus, who's actually trying to explain something that people can understand in a way that I don't have the most scientific brain, but I was following along with it fine.
Rumpus
but if you come
shit.
In here to a conversation yeah. knowing like that you're not going to take any other kind of evidence for anything except for this experiment being done, and that experiment you know yourself that you admitted is impossible, I think it's just a joke. This is why
it's impossible because it goes against physics.
Because
it doesn't
you
work.
Have no other evidence. Give me something that proves that the Earth is flat, not impossible fairy tales. Give me a piece of proof. One piece.
It's like saying I believe fairies created the universe. Oh, can you do an experiment proving fairies created the universe? No. That means that fairies created the universe. It's still plausible because the experiment is impossible to prove. That's exactly what you're saying.
He doesn't listen to himself because that's so goddamn dumb. It's ridiculous.
That's the exact thing that we're saying. It's the exact thing what you're saying. You're saying because the experiment is impossible to do that your hypothesis of the universe is still plausible because all the experiment to do is
I think I've got a good point here. Wotan,
experiment.
By the way, I thought I was supposed to be doing the invective here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Wotan, here's something to consider. Are you aware that the density of the atmosphere decreases with the height?
It does.
Great. Now, why do you think that is? If gravity wasn't pulling the atmosphere down on it and affecting it in that way, what do you think is causing it to become denser at the sea level than it is up, say, at the top of Mount Everest?
The particles just fall, and the lighter particles.
Why do they fall? What force is acting upon them? What force is making them fall?
But
Newton's second law, force is equal to mass times acceleration, means that for something to fall, there has to be a force acting on it. What force is acting on those molecules?
Well, it's not the bendature of space-time.
Well, let's not get this.
Now you're really going to confuse him, Robert. I'm going to play with Kyle on this one. Don't confuse him with the difference between gravity is a force and Newtonian. Gravity is bending space-time. He'll blow a gasket.
Yeah, can we just deal with this?
Because all things will start leaking.
Really, they bring that.
Walter, that was a bit of a deflection. Can you please respond rather than deflecting? What force is acting on those molecules to make them fall?
We'll get Desert File in here if we need to.
Hold on, I'd really like him to answer this question.
all these interesting theories that people are coming out with, that are saying that it's some electromagnetic force or maybe some sort of static electric force.
Let's write this down. So let's write this down. So it's number one, you think could be electromagnetic force. Any other ideas?
I said could be. I'm not adhering to these beliefs.
Okay, that's idea number one. Idea number one, it could be electromagnetic force. Any other ideas?
Static electric.
So two. So we've got electromagnetic force and we've got static electric force. Okay, so that's two ideas we've got so far for why the molecules in the atmosphere fall to the ground. Okay, that's two so far. Any others?
These are just some of the theories that I've heard.
Okay.
Angels pushing them down.
So would you like to consider another theory that begins with the letter G?
Well, no, because I don't believe space-time exists, because it's ridiculous. You can't make space and time into one.
Let's just worry there's a force that we have a name for that occurs between two masses. And that might account for why these molecules like coming down to the surface of the Earth. Because there has to be a force acting on them. I'm glad you've accepted that. There has to be a force acting on those molecules to attract them to the surface of the Earth.
Did he agree to that? Does he get that part?
Take a giant lead ball, 100 feet in diameter, and make a tiny, you know, 1 inch in diameter lead ball go towards the giant lead ball. I believe you. There's gravity.
Sorry, what was that? Can you say that again?
Giant lead ball, whatever it is, the biggest object of the most mass that you could possibly imagine, and take a small object and make that small object go towards the larger object by virtue of its mass alone.
Right, but do you understand that the force of gravity is very small, and therefore you need very, very big objects to show the effect to the scale you're talking about? Do you understand that mass is proportional to the mass, and the gravitational constant G is so small that you need enormous amounts of mass before you can have a major effect? Do you understand that?
You should tell that to Cavendish, because when Cavendish did this experiment, he would stand outside of the barn, nearly 100 feet away, and he would look through a telescope barn, because he didn't want his own gravity to interfere with the test. So if gravity is so small and it does absolutely nothing, and it's because it's such a
mass.
Small amount of force, then why would he even bother to stand outside if it's such a small negligible
force?
Oh,
it's not negligible, but
stand right near it.
Not negligible. Matter of fact, we can measure the amount of gravity between two particles. It is something that's measurable.
Right, so we can measure this.
Right, but how can your gravity interfere with the test if you can't get a giant lead ball of 100 feet in diameter and take a small lead ball or whatever and a centimeter in diameter, and you can't make it go towards it, but a human being just going near the test, it's going to affect the test. Oh, no, it's going to be wrong.
So you think in your head that because we can't get a small ball to sort of, I don't know what, go along the ground, roll along the ground towards another big ball, you think that's on the same scale as the Cavendish experiment? You think those two things are comparable, do you?
The Cavendish experiment, I think the difference in weights, there was only 216 times.
That's right, but did you know the deflection? You know, by using a torsional balance, you're magnifying the effect many hundreds of times. Whereas to drag something across, you know, a ball rolling along the ground, that requires many, many orders of magnitude force greater to do that than it does to twist a torsional balance with a very, very fine, the finest string you can possibly have. You know, the differences in the forces are huge, you're talking about. And it seems to me you don't seem to understand the math. Basically, I suspect you're not very good at maths, because if you knew the maths involved, you would know that those two things are not equivalent. You would not expect, from knowing the Cavendish one, to expect the second effect you talked about of a ball rolling towards a big lead ball. That is not what the math says.
I don't think we can call him a flat earther anymore. I think he's an anti-gravity person.
I have yet to hear one bit of evidence for the fucking flat earth.
Well, the flat earth is all hypothesis.
This, though. This is a common feature, I'm afraid, of them,
Kyle. You're using that term hypothesis wrong. You don't know what the null hypothesis is.
Excuse me. Okay, so let's Google null hypothesis.
I know what null hypothesis is.
The number one result.
I think everybody else
probably does. The number one link, besides the Wikipedia link, the number one link goes to an article about the null hypothesis. Anybody watching can do this right now. It's a website.
You can also Google gravity.
It's a website.
You're going to Google gravity now?
It's a website. Statisticshowto.com.
Roton, let me ask you this. Listen to me.
Oh, you just shot yourself in the foot there, my friend.
When you have a null hypothesis, right? Can you ever accept a null hypothesis as being true when you do an experiment? Can you ever accept it?
Well, it's assumed to be true before you disprove it.
That was my question. And no, it's not. But if I'm doing an experiment, right, and I have my claim and I have my null hypothesis, can I ever show by experimentation that null hypothesis is correct? Is that how it's done?
While you think about that, Frankie, find me a how-to article about gravity, because he said that's the reference that he's using for the case that he's making right now. I went on that same – what article did you say proves the null hypothesis?
Just go to Google, null hypothesis. Number one result is statisticshowto.com, and they give an example of what the null hypothesis is.
Okay.
And they say the number one
I guarantee
one
you
example,
how-to will also give you an example of gravity. Are you going to accept that then too?
I don't want him to get away from this answer. Can I ever accept the null hypothesis?
Well, if all the other experiments fail.
What would that require to you?
If all your other experiments try to disprove that null hypothesis failed, then I guess you could assume that it's true.
Okay, then you have no idea how experimentation works or how a type 1 or type 2 error in experimentation works, how you fail to reject the null hypothesis, what it means to reject the null hypothesis. We have a statistician that is a friend of mine in the live feed that's probably fucking having a coronary right now because I can tell you right now, there is no person on this planet that has taken statistics or done any kind of experiment that is listening to you that's not cringing and going to have sleep deprivation for the rest of their lives because of what you just said.
But I think there may be somebody that can help
him. You agree?
Let's go ahead and bring him in.
One thing, you do not necessarily have to have a null hypothesis for
correct,
experiments. It's basically normal for statistical things.
But you can never accept it. You'd only reject
the null hypothesis. Yes. So, for instance, you tend to use null hypothesis. Like, for instance, if you've got a drug and you're doing it and you want to do a statistical analysis whether the drug is having the effect on people dying or having disease, then you need the null hypothesis that it's not going to do anything. And you need to establish through a statistical analysis that something is happening with your drug. But for some of the experiments, like, for instance, measuring gravity, you don't really need a null hypothesis. You've got an effect. You can establish an independent variable relationship and say, when I do this, I get this effect. For that, you don't really need a null hypothesis, only really for sort of statistical analyses of things where there's a dispute about whether there's actually an effect taking place.
Yeah, and I also have another PhD in biology. He says we're exactly right as well.
Rumpus, we need to bring you in on a where your knowledge can actually be used, because I fear that what you're offering to the table is not being in any way considered, and I think that's a shame.
Brian Stevens, who is a statistician, says he is referring to you, Votan, is 100% wrong on what the null is. You can't accept the null; you can only fail to reject it, which is something that myself, Rumpus, and everybody else is trying to explain to you. But you don't seem to get the concept of that.
I mean, let's go back to things like the curvature of the Earth. I mean, if you're in things like the fact that we see a sunset, for instance, it's definite proof that it's not a flat Earth. The fact that you can say you can see the dip to the horizon. The fact you see, for instance, like the sun illuminating clouds from beneath. With the rotation of the stars in the sky, the fact you get a north and a south pole. On a flat Earth, for instance, south points in lots of different directions. Yet we know that when you go south, you end up at the same point. On a flat Earth, like a disc, going south can take you in all sorts of directions. On a flat Earth, for instance, you would be able to see both sides of the moon. They think the sun is only 3,000 miles high. We can show that it isn't. You can, as I said before, you can see two sides of the moon. And also, of course, it doesn't account for the seasons. I mean, there's just a plethora of reasons why the flat Earth can't work. And also, I said the angular size of the sun would have to change as it went round you. We know that it doesn't change size. So we have observable things that you can do yourself to show that the flat Earth can't be working.
But he won't even defend those. Like, he won't even defend a flat Earth position. Like, I have never seen this in my life. I have yet to hear one example of what makes him think that the Earth is actually flat versus.
Who do we got in here? We got John or we got KC? The other KC.
We got John.
What's up, heathens?
What's up, John?
Yeah, I mean, he just seems to be denying science. Basically, his tactic is all these experiments that have been recorded in the academic literature, they're not true. It's basically his argument. He's yes for the positive case.
Right.
That's all he's doing. If gravity doesn't exist, then the Earth has to be flat because the only reason why it's round is because of gravity. So
it's not a reason.
But we can measure gravity, Wotan. We can measure. We've got experiments. You're in denial of science. You're in denial of experimental physicists over hundreds of years.
Rumpus, hang on. Let me ask one quick question before we get John in here, because I want to hear what John has to say. So, Votan, let me at least ask you this. If I wanted to know what I would expect to see in a given situation, could we not use gravitational physics to determine what I would expect to see? And it doesn't even have to be with gravity. It has to be like special relativity as well. As Rumpus will know, that certain experiments done with muons, we can detect how long they decay, and we use special relativity. Can I use math to say, okay, this is what I would expect to see under these situations, no matter if space-time bends or whatever, if reality is all wrong, could I not use those equations to make predictions?
whatever you call that force, you think it's mass attracting other mass. I don't think it's mass attracting other mass.
That's not my question. That's not my question. My question is, if I wanted to say, here's an atomic clock on the Earth, here's one in space, I'm predicting that this atomic clock should measure this. Could I not use the mathematics to make that determination before I do the experiment and see if there's a relationship, regardless of the reason behind it, right?
But you can't assert that that's because of the Earth's mass.
Okay, but the physics works, right?
Do you accept the experiment gives that result, that the time goes more slowly on higher up you go? I mean, but the trouble is you deny this science. You deny all these experiments have done this. Your only answer is to say, I don't believe it. Well, we don't really care that you don't believe it.
I mean, the Cavendish experiment is the most ridiculous thing. This guy did this experiment over 250 years ago in a barn. Yeah. He only came 1% within the values. I think you buy a home kit
for it.
Only 1% within the values that we have now with the world's most advanced machining technology. You look at these machines.
He was within 5 or 10% of the value. Yeah, you're wrong.
Botan, I think you can actually buy a home kit to do the Cavendish experiment.
Yeah, you can do it yourself, Botan. You can do it yourself your own bedroom.
John, you want to like dive into this? I'm sure you're like got something to say on this.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of curious, like. I think maybe I've been editing a video, so stop me if this has been asked, but is it Wotan?
Votan. Right.
Votan?
He likes Votan.
Votan. What is a flat earth experiment that we could run that definitively proves like a flat earth, like on the order of, I guess, like gravity. For instance, you know, there's the Cavendish experiment. There's a Coriolis effect that we could do that would prove the Coriolis effect proves the spinning of the Earth. But I'm just kind of curious, like, what kind of experiment could we run that would validate the negation of gravity? Because, like, if you go back to the basic fundamental laws of motion, if you have a mass of anything that is just sitting there motionless, then it's going to stay at rest. And it's only until it's acted upon that it moves. So what we need to figure out here is what force, in your view, is causing things to move. Like here on Earth, with scientifically minded people, we have the mass being affected by gravity, and that's why it falls down towards the Earth. It's being pulled by the immense mass of the Earth towards the center of it, and it's being pulled in a measurable way. We have the law of gravity where we can measure that force. Huh?
Right, but what you're measuring, you can measure the acceleration of an object, but you can't assert that the Earth is what's causing that acceleration.
Well, no, okay. Well, I mean, that's not what I asked. As it applies to the fundamental laws of motion, what force in your worldview is causing things to fall down?
That's a great question. What is that?
Well, I asked him earlier this very thing. Yeah, he told me it was electromagnetic and electrostatic. We never got wrapped.
No, but he said that they could be. Well, he didn't say that it was.
What I would say is just, you know, what I love to say is that I don't know. And just because I don't know doesn't mean that gravity is true, and it doesn't mean that you know. So I like to say things that I don't know rather than me claim that I do know, and then I could be wrong.
That's the start. You don't know. That's the first true thing you've said so far. Yes.
Yeah, I got no problem with what you just said, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, I have no problem with you saying I don't know, but you cannot also pair that with gravity does not exist.
I don't believe that space time. You cannot combine space and time into one thing. That's what I don't believe about gravity. That's the precipice. That's the actual, very beginning.
You know, basis for that. You just simply assert it and you reject all of these experiments.
You're saying that space time does not exist.
No, because you can't combine space and time. It's ridiculous. Yeah, what the hell is that?
Did it quite a few years ago.
Can't. Prove it.
Have you ever seen a Minkowski diagram? Okay,
I long for the days where I used to hear ATP synthase.
That was space time. Those
days. Okay, so Votan, do you know what atomic clocks are?
We've been down this road.
They change
as you go up higher. We've been through all this, and he seems prepared to accept that they will change their behavior as you go increasing in altitude. And I had to explain to him that this was due to the fact that the gravitational field decreased as you went up higher, but he then didn't really get beyond that.
Right, but you could assert that, or it could be, you know, maybe there's...
No, it's not asserting. Out there it's experimentally verified and measured. It's right, not just asserting. Gravity,
do you understand the difference, Votan? Do you understand the difference? He's not making a claim that can't be proven.
Well, okay. So, Votan, to you, what is an atomic clock?
What is the basis behind why they're able to measure time?
Say those three words and just be honest, Votan. Yeah. Say those three words.
Yeah, I've heard of it plenty of times. I just don't know how it works.
Okay, good. That's good.
I don't know.
But do you accept there have been experiments on it that show that it changes the time changes as you change in altitude?
But hang on, let's start with the atomic clock.
I don't think we need to go into how it works. We just need to know that the clocks change what they do and the difference in altitude. That's all we need to know. And then we need to know whether he accepts experiments have been done on that and it's been verified, measured, repeated, and it's been established and whether he's prepared to accept that or not. Right.
Well, okay, so atomic clocks...
Hold on, he stopped him from answering that question. Does he accept that atomic clocks or any clock changes passage of time with increasing altitude because it's been measured experimentally?
Well, you seem pretty confident in it, so I'm not going to say that it doesn't happen. And if it does happen, I don't think that it could be gravity. It could be something else. You can't just like assert that it's gravity.
You were doing so well there, Votan. You were doing so well there.
So you just simply, again, the only thing you've done so far is just to reject science. The only positive point you've made so far is about water not, how do we explain water clinging to the surface? It's the only claim you've made so far.
I have all the claims also.
Well, the reason that we question things, when I always look at this way, when somebody says, hey, something's wrong, I like to know if they have an understanding of it. If somebody says atomic clocks don't work or that the theory behind it is wrong, I like to know if they have a basic understanding of the topic, right? And if Votan is saying, hey, we can't trust atomic clocks to demonstrate relativity is correct, then I'm questioning if he's understanding how atomic clocks even work. I think that's a fair position to take on that.
But the hard thing is that we're talking about atomic clocks and not flat Earth. Like that's the what we have to take away from this, guys, is that he's anti-gravity. Like,
well, that's why I think it's safe to say that you don't. About.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I don't think he can truly say that he is a flat earther because he doesn't have any evidence for being that. He just doesn't believe that gravity exists, ergo the everything else we know about.
Yeah, I don't know even how that follows. Gravity doesn't exist, ergo flat Earth. I don't know how that even follows.
There's photos of mountain ranges 275 miles away. The longest range photograph is over 200. I think it's 250, between 250 and 275 miles away.
Do you want to talk about that? Let's talk about that.
You see the entire freaking mountain. It's absolutely impossible. You cannot.
Yeah, no,
I mean, you don't see the entire mountain range. Let's be true here. I mean, you're not going to see the base of every single ridge along. I mean, you're going to see the tops of it, of course.
Right. You see a lot more than what you should, because when you go to the Earth Curve Calculator on Metabunk on your website, you go to your website, Metabunk, and you put in the Earth Curve Calculator, and you put in the distance,
why is it
put
in the altitude.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not my website. Website. Is it
your I know exactly what he's talking about.
That's
I don't
the Metabunk website. That's the website that debunks flat Earth and 9/11 and all these
that's
other
right.
obvious conspiracies.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously
that's
real.
Right.
Okay. So you go on your website, you use your math, you put in the altitude, you put in the distance, you put in how much curvature you should see, how much should be obscured by the Earth. The entire mountain range should be completely obscured. You should never be able to see it.
God, I miss Debbie right now.
Any of it. Even if you see a little bit, even if you see the tops of it, it's still flat Earth.
Yeah, Votan, are you familiar with the concept of refraction?
Oh, yeah. So the whole freaking mountain range comes into view because refraction.
That's not what he said. That you're totally mischaracterizing what he said there, Votan. I mean, he just simply asked, do you know what refraction is? That's all he said.
Yes, I do.
He just attributed to that as, oh, look what Rumpus has said about mountain range and refraction.
Okay, right. Now, Rumpus, continue.
Okay, please, I've got something to show you, so I'd like to share my screen again.
Oh,
sorry about that. If whoever has a, let me just show you a little thing down here. If you can see that, right. So here, right. Let me just go down here. Sorry, that's taking a bit longer than I hoped to get down to the bit that I want to show you here. So this here's an example. Yeah. So I could, do I want to show you that? So here's what refraction does. You can see, there you go. That's what refraction can do for you. You can see that. Can you see that that knife coming up and down.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Great. And this is what there's an angel something called an archer fish which allows for refraction. And I explain here. I could go into details. I could quickly explain to you how refraction works. Actually, do you know what Snell's law is?
Snell's law.
Snell's law. Okay. So you're familiar with, for instance, if you have a pencil in some water and it looks bent, and so that it actually looks as if it's been lifted up. Can you see this diagram? Do you accept this diagram? It's correct. Great. So you can see here that due to what Snell's law tells you how light behaves when it hits a medium boundary, and refraction is caused by the change of velocity of light, and it causes it to angle in this particular way, and that the way it behaves is defined by Snell's law, which is the change of velocity of the light is given by the sine of the incidence and the refracted ray, and the ratio of the sine of those angles is the change of velocity. So, but basically, here's the example. Here's we've got water down here, and that's what happens to the ray. It bends basically toward into the air. That's coming from water. That's going from a dense medium to a light medium. Now,
it's a ratio of the sine of the difference of theta, right?
That's right. Okay. So imagine now, here's the Earth. And it's surrounded by some glass. And here we have a lighthouse. I don't know if you can see that clearly. So if you imagine a light ray coming out of here, at base of the lighthouse, and it hits the boundary here. So this is just glass. So it's all the same. It's uniform. It's a homogeneous medium. And it hits there. Then it follows Snell's law, which means it bends. This angle of refraction here, following the Snell's law, what I've described here, which means it bends in this way. It bends towards the boundary. This is where the you measure the angles from. This is the angle of incidence. That's the angle of refraction. And my stupid thing's saving, which is very annoying. Now imagine that this was made up of not just one layer. So this is the Earth I'm proposing here, and this is made up of many layers. And you would get lots and lots of these refraction events. And if I could scroll my bloody thing, which I can't do because it's bloody saving. You would see that, in fact, you would get lots of these little bendings occurring at the various boundaries of the different. So now imagine just being one layer. Imagine this is five layers of glass, each with different refractive index. As it hit each one, it would undergo each one of these bends. And if you had enough of those, it would actually bend all the way in a nice arc. And that's what the refraction thing is mentioned in the Metabunk thing is. And if you have intense conditions, which I'm trying to scroll to, but this bloody thing's decided to save, and while I'm doing this, you actually get things like mirages, and you get inversion layers, and you must accept the existence of mirages and those other things. And that particular phenomenon you're describing with that particular mountain is caused by, here we go, thank God for that, you bastard. So this is what happens if you have lots of these layers. You get lots of these little Snell refraction events occurring until eventually you get a nice little smooth ray that occurs. Now, if you get particular conditions where the density of these things is changing rather oddly, you can get those bends. And as you can see here, what's happened here is that you can then see. So this is what happens when you what it looks like from the user's from the observer's point of view. So here's an observer with an eye here, and here's our lighthouse. And the light coming from the base of this lighthouse comes around, it follows the arc that I've just described in the previous diagrams, and it hits the eye, say it's sort of horizontal. But in fact, the light actually followed an arc. But of course, the way you perceive things is you look at the straight line. So you perceive the base of the lighthouse here as being here and not here, because it's been bent round the thing. Now, this is under normal conditions. This is caused by the fact that the density of the air is greater towards the nearer the surface of the planet, which you've accepted, and less up, which means it follows the rules I said up here. These layers, the ones closer to the Earth, surface of the Earth, are more dense, and so it means that they will bend around in that way, which means it bends around the surface of the Earth, which means you can effectively see some degree. I mean, it's only slightly. A diagram I showed you before about the curvature of the Earth, which you accept to look very much like a straight line. Similarly, these curves are almost straight, but of course I've exaggerated the scale here. And so you perceive things, you can see basically around the curve. And if the conditions are greater, for instance, if you get very warm air and a cold surface, you can get more extreme versions of this. And that the conditions you were talking about for seeing those mountains happen very unusually, and they are untypical environmental conditions, which means you can do things like see the sun. So, for instance, this is where the sun, every time you see the sunset or sunrise, the sun is actually below the horizon when you first see it. You perceive it as being higher up. And in fact, they adjust timeanddate.com to allow for this, because people will keep on saying, oh, look, this sun went down below the horizon later than it should have done, and it rose earlier. And that's because the light going through the atmosphere is bent. And of course, you cannot. Here's an example, for instance, of bending refraction. So you can't deny that refraction occurs, because this is a particular.
I think we're kind of like harping through this point.
Okay, one last thing.
If he doesn't understand things like refraction, then, you know.
I understand.
Okay, one last thing.
This is not complex physics here.
Okay, yeah, one last thing. See, then you get effects like this. Effects like this, which demonstrate what weird things can do with refraction. So you can't necessarily assume. You cannot just say, oh, look, therefore, because we have these strange effects, therefore that invalidates. No, it's due to refractive conditions, and we do get strange refractive conditions just like this. There you go. End.
I have a suggestion.
Yeah. Right, so that's...
It's Casey, I have a suggestion.
Come on.
Bring it.
Hi.
Hi.
How about we take this to a less scientific level? Because it is quite evident that it's not being understood.
What? Who's not understanding it? Who's not understanding it?
Voltan.
I'm understanding.
Voltan.
Yeah. So he's like, I'm a
brain moron. Like, I understand what he's saying.
We didn't say you were a moron.
I just think it would be more beneficial for the conversation for us to keep this at a little bit of a like less scientific and mathematical level and go with maybe simpler explanations. It would also be helpful if maybe we could ask
let her finish and then we'll go to what you want to say about it. Go ahead, Casey.
Perhaps instead of trying to go into complex explanations and educate, how about we try to find out what he thinks and why, and then more simply explain why those things are incorrect. Would that be, like, that might just be more beneficial to the conversation.
I'm sorry, Rumpus is going to go next. My bad, Rumpus.
Well, I was just going to say, she seems to be saying concerned about Wotan's explanation. He claims to have understood what I just said, so the problem is not there, though the audience, I suspect, also probably understood what I said.
He says that he understood, but...
Yeah, I don't think he does. I mean, I was going to ask him, like, this photo...
We don't follow the...
I don't think he understands why we see it the way we do from the Fata Morgana.
I think that one of the bigger problems here, though, is that... At least in my view, Wotan, no disrespect to you, but I feel like Wotan is wanting this level of explanation for things, but at the same time, there is literally no criteria that would suffice to convince him otherwise, because he just, you just reject science, because while you don't know, you still keep up this level of skepticism about what scientists tell you, regardless of what can actually be proven to you. Like, for instance, how does this refraction really affect your worldview? Like, how do you feel about, you know, this information about refraction?
So this image that we're looking at right here with this boat is obviously not far enough to be behind the curve on with your mathematics. Now, the mountain absolutely is. It would be completely obstructed by the curvature of the Earth. And now what you're saying, this object that you're seeing is not behind the curve of the Earth, even with your math. And this is happening. This is refraction. This is clear refraction, a mirage. I understand that. But now what you're saying that objects behind the curve can come up over the curve and appear just as if they're on the land. That's, you know, right. I'm sorry. I like Occam's razor too much. What you're telling me right now, I honestly think it's just completely full of shit, and I just don't know. I don't believe this at all. I don't believe you at all.
I have pictures.
We have photos of that happening.
It's just way too simple to just say that it's just on the horizon. That's where it is.
Well, I mean, that's not Occam's razor, for one thing. Let's get that straight.
That's my point.
It absolutely is Occam's razor.
No. Hold on. Occam's razor is the solution with the least amount of assumptions
exactly.
is more than likely going to be the correct one.
With all exactly. things now, being equal with explanatory power.
Right.
Well, and he keeps forgetting that. He has to have two competing hypotheses that have equal explanatory and predictive power. Then you take the one with the least assumptions. He doesn't have anything with any explanatory power or predictability.
Right, exactly. So no, this is exactly Occam's razor, because you're that saying that they both have explanatory power.
I have figured it out.
I've got a picture I'd love to show to Wotan.
They both have explanatory power. Excuse me, can I just finish? They both have explanatory power, being that the Earth is flat and you see the whole mountain range because the Earth is flat and you can see it, or that it's refraction and it's bringing up the whole image and it's just a mirage. That is more assumptions.
Right, so
that
Wotan, is against you Occam's
razor. You're anti-fact, Wotan. That's what it is. You're anti-fact.
Okay, I'd like to show Wotan this diagram here, which is something taken by Soundly, some people may be familiar with. He takes shots across Lake Pontchartrain and things, and he particularly focuses on this hotel. And this is two shots that he made of the hotel. You can see it here and here. And these are the two different conditions that have actually caused this to see. This is what it normally looks like, and you can see you can't see much of it. It's hidden behind the curve, of course. And you can, and just this is, for instance, this picture in itself demonstrates the Earth is spherical, because, of course, where else has that gone? And what, and on a different night with different refractive conditions, this happens. So you can see there's been an enormous change in the visible portion of this hotel caused by looming, as it's called. This is bringing something up around the curve, which I described with the lighthouse. So we have got experimental verified evidence of this effect occurring that he was saying with his mountain could not occur. And I've got
Or did the mountain grow? Or did the building grow? Did the building decide
it would grow? Good point. Perhaps it's on jacks. Yes.
Yeah, it's on stilt at night.
It's perhaps it bounces. It's on a bouncing
can't
camp.
Can't possibly tell in his photograph.
You know what? It's an explanation.
Why don't you let Wotan explain why he thinks this happened? Give him a minute to talk. Please explain why this happened.
So these are two photographs. Obviously, no one was there to witness it. Number two, you don't know his distance to these two objects. In one picture, he could be further back, and another one, he could be further forward, which has different atmospheric conditions.
So you're accusing him of lying. So you're accusing him of being dishonest. Is that right?
Of course, he's a liar. All the globe is a liar.
It's easier to think of the building than it is.
Anybody who's a ball earther is lying. Soundly, who has a hugely great reputation on the internet, who does his due diligence on all his videos. I've watched many of them, and I know he spends a lot of time on debunking flat earth. All of a sudden, because he is showing you evidence that conflicts with your position, he has to be dishonest, right? There's no other way it could be, correct?
Why lie about the shape of the Earth, Wotan? Let's get down to the guy.
Soundly also lied about his Lake Pontchartrain towers being bent, and then some other guy went there with his own camera and then showed it's totally flat across the whole freaking lake.
That's so not true.
Why make up that lie? Like, why is that a thing? Why would we have to cover up the fact that the Earth is a globe? What is ultimately the reason for why this lie is continuing?
Well, in your model, we are a speck of dust in an infinite universe. Basically, we are meaningless. We are pointless. There is no...
I don't think of any of those things are true.
There's no reason for us to exist. We're an accident. We're a freak hap of chance.
I don't think that either.
It's religion. Basically, you're saying it's religion.
Why does he think he gets to decide for me what I think? I don't think any of those things are true. So why does he keep attributing those things to me?
I'm kind of curious.
I don't think there's no purpose. We should have started with this question.
John, go ahead.
Yeah. What is the connection between being a globe and being meaningless? Like, there are plenty of Christians out there, plenty of religious people that believe in a higher power and think that we're here for a purpose and all that, and subscribe to, you know, the fact that we're a spherical Earth. So I don't see the spherical Earth being the linchpin in being meaningless. So I'm wondering to you, what is that connection there between spherical Earth and meaninglessness?
Religion. He's obviously religious.
I'm asking Wotan. I'm not religious, number one. I'm not religious at all. I never will be religious. I'll give you guys a little insight into me. So I find it absolutely... I'm on the total opposite fence of where I would be not even 3 or 4 years ago. 3 or 4 years ago, I'm reading Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, Christopher Hitchens, Don Dennett, all those guys. I love those guys. Carl Sagan, all of that. Have all their books. I'm not all of them, but I have most of their books. You know, so for me to be arguing about this now, and I was such a dogmatic atheist back then. I was so into atheism. You know, my whole life, I never believed in a God. I was actually more of an anti-theist. I was more of the Christopher Hitchens type atheist, where I absolutely was opposed to God. I did not absolutely knew that God did not exist. But now, once I seen the flaws with evolution, I started opening my mind a little bit. And then I started looking into, you know, other things. And then I came across flat Earth, and then all of these solid arguments for them. How is the atmosphere in a vacuum? How is the water around the shape of the Earth? You can't do an experiment to prove that. You can't do an experiment to prove vacuum existing in an atmosphere. These experiments are impossible because they don't exist, because they don't work, because you can't do it, because it's not a part of the physical universe. So what that means is there's a possibility that the Earth could be actually flat as we observe it, and it could be motionless as we observe it. If the Earth is flat and motionless as we observe it, that automatically is an absolute 100% proof that we are part of an intelligently designed system. You cannot explain it any other way.
You advocate for intelligent design, and by the way, you said you're no longer an atheist, so I would assume you're a theist now?
No, not a theist. Believe that there's something that...
Wait. If you believe God doesn't exist, or you believe God exists, I mean...
Well, theists usually lend the creator to an anthropomorphic type of being.
Sure.
I don't think you believe
there's intelligent...
Well, let's not muddy those waters, Steve. Let's go simple. We're actually getting somewhere. Let's skip over...
We've got off subject. We're now talking about religion. I mean, I think we ought to get off this subject, actually. We're not talking about religion and intelligent design here. We were supposed to be talking about the flat Earth. I'm happy to talk about evolution and intelligent design, but that is off topic.
We haven't been talking about the flat Earth the entire time.
We've been talking about his rejection of science, basically. He rejects science. He denies science.
Now you know where it's from. Now you know where that rejection is.
Oh, I appreciate that. That's why I suggested when he said it. I said this is because this is religion or some religious type in view. But nonetheless, we're arguing about the facts here, and he's trying to dispute whether or not this soundless thing here is a lie, basically, which is absolutely outrageous. He's denying the evidence of his eyes, basically. He's denying the evidence of science. And just because he doesn't understand that moving on a train means you will not feel forces. He doesn't understand that force is equal to mass times acceleration, it seems to me, because he's convinced that we're stationary. And then he doesn't seem to understand that you can be going along at constant velocity and not feeling anything.
Because the reason for that is what's important. What needs to be shown and what that can do to how you think in terms of...
Yeah, but we should be dealing with the fact.
Confronted with evidence.
Arguments he proposes. I mean, we should be... Oh, that might be the reason for his doing it, but nonetheless, he should be able to present arguments for the things he's claiming, and those are the things we're dealing with.
The reason why I deny it is because after coming across, you know, flat Earth and 9/11 and evolution being complete garbage.
Can everybody stop screen sharing?
As usual, every conspiracy going.
Point of order, can everybody stop screen sharing? We don't need to be screen sharing this anymore.
What I tend to do now is just I try to have the most pragmatic view of the world that I possibly can, the most simplest view of the world that I possibly can. And if you're going to tell me that the Earth is spinning and I don't feel spinning, I don't believe you. Done. Occam's razor, I don't believe you.
That's not
Occam's razor.
Why do you deny that? Because you don't understand it.
It's more assumptions on top of the fact that it's spinning. And also that doesn't actually prove that the Earth is spinning. That's just an explanation. And if it is spinning, that I wouldn't feel it. That doesn't mean
sunsets.
Wotan, let's get to the nitty-gritty here. What do you think in physics would allow you to feel something? I believe, that change of acceleration, you'll feel that. If you change your vector, meaning that you'll change your speed or the magnitude of your speed or your direction, that's a change in acceleration, you'll feel that.
Not change of acceleration, change of velocity.
Change of velocity, I'm sorry, you're right. Change of velocity. So your velocity is changing, right, which is going to result in an actual feeling that you're going to notice. What is it that you are going to notice if at a constant velocity? without change of direction, without change of magnitude of speed.
I'm not denying the fact that you wouldn't feel at you moving at a constant speed. I understand that part of it. Right. I completely understand it. But what that means, that doesn't mean that we are spinning just because
I didn't say that. It. But the Earth is spinning at a constant speed. You just said if it's constant, you wouldn't feel it.
That's right. You implied you'd constant. Be able to feel it. It is minor. You implied right, you'd be able to feel it.
Right, but
you
again,
implied you'd be able to feel it.
Right, but again, like Occam's Razor says, they both have explanatory power, but one has more assumptions than the other. So I just go with the other one. And
what
just say,
what
oh,
are the
this
assumptions?
Is not spinning.
Oh. Yeah, what are the assumptions? I don't know what assumptions he's referring to.
The assumption that we are spinning, but that
that's
we just
not an assumption. That's the conclusion. You keep using the word assumption wrong.
Yeah, what gets you to that
assumption.
Point?
It is an assumption that you think.
I don't assume we're spinning.
We're not spinning.
Mm-hmm. I have never taken the assumption we're spinning.
Well, okay,
I've taken
okay.
The conclusion from the science.
So, Votan, the Coriolis effect, which if you don't know, that's where that was something that Rumpus was talking about earlier. You go up high enough in like a building or a water tower or something like that. You drop a ball down. If you had it in like a vacuum or whatnot, where you didn't have any other forces, the ball or whatever you dropped would not land directly beneath you, but yet it would shift due to the Coriolis effect. And so like that would be one experiment where we're not assuming that the Earth is spinning, but we can also show the effect of the Earth spinning. So what again, like using like that as an experiment with no assumptions that the Earth is spinning, but we see that effect. How do you explain that effect?
How do you know that Coriolis effect exists? What experiment have you done to know that
the
Coriolis effect
exists? Just described one. The one I described earlier, he repeated to you again. And
no,
also
but
you
on, not on the Earth, I'm saying.
How do you
on
know reality is real? This is going
to be...
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what religion will do to you if you dive in.
The three
how you
experiments.
Go from Hitchens to this, how you go from Christopher Hitchens to this, that man would be rolling over his grave right now, I'll tell
there
you
There are
that.
Three quick experiments if you can do, Wotan, to establish the Earth is spinning. One is Foucault's pendulum. Two is just simply dropping something
Foucault's
from a reasonable height.
Foucault's pendulum is a mechanical device.
Yes, it's fine, but
yes,
that's fine.
Okay, so if it's a mechanical device, that means the whole thing is just completely full of shit. It's a mechanical device.
So all mechanical devices are full of crap, then. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't see how
that's why does it be mechanical?
So can't do experiments on mechanical devices.
Yeah.
So hold on. So basically, if any experiment involves a mechanical device, therefore it's crap. Is that
no,
right?
I never said that. No,
oh,
I said
just one particular one.
Just one mechanical is crap.
I never said that.
You said the flaw. Wotan, you said the flaw in it. It was that it was a mechanical device. You suggested, therefore,
right.
That all
so
things
fact,
have
why,
mechanical devices are flawed.
Why does the Foucault pendulum need to be a mechanical device if the Earth is spinning and it's causing it to move anyway? How come it needs to be operated by mechanics?
What do you mean by mechanical? I mean, the Foucault, the pendulum, I mean,
it's just a pendulum
hung from, like, a ceiling or something.
Well, some
right,
do have
right, so why do you need, if you actually,
yeah,
look,
but, yeah,
actually
it's
have a PDF.
Mechanical thing, isn't it, Voltan?
I had a PDF of the how the so-called pendulums are built, and it's just all these electrical, mechanical things.
Well, they have to be able to start
just,
it sometimes. There are
if it's just a string
ways.
On a ceiling, if
but
it's just
all
a string on
to
a
be.
Ceiling that's showing that it's spinning, why do you need all these electronics and mechanics involved?
Votan, you're not understanding here. There's different types of pendulums that can be used across the world. Some of them do have some electrical things to use for it because it's mechanically started. But if you just take a string and you have it long enough, you could do it just with a freaking heavy weight and a string
as
and a big ceiling.
Did. This is what Foucault did.
Yeah,
he did exactly
yeah,
that.
It's not mechanical. It doesn't need electronics. It doesn't
Are
need
sure?
special effects.
Man, I had the fucking PDF and I deleted it like a moron.
Yeah, I mean, how do you think he did it back then?
Yeah, exactly.
I have a question.
Yeah, back when, 300 years ago?
Yeah, so what? Do you think the 1 plus 1 stops being equal to 2 if it wears out after a couple hundred years?
Okay, you could keep believing things that hundreds of years ago, and then you use that same
we
exact...
We verify them.
You
but
use
they've
that,
been verified ever
me,
since.
Me.
They've never
well,
been
we,
contradicted,
well,
Wotan. They've
line
never
of reasoning.
Been contradicted, Wotan. They've never been contradicted, only confirmed.
When you go to
Wotan,
the Foucault's pendulum...
Wotan, I have a question.
Come on in.
What experiments have you done yourself... that proof of flat Earth.
You seem like to guess the answer to this question.
Say,
hey, I wasn't asking you. I was asking Wotan. What experiments have you done to prove a flat Earth?
I don't need an experiment to know it's flat. It's just flat because the horizon is flat.
Okay.
Okay.
So, thanks for joining us tonight. So,
there you go.
Wait,
that's all
guys.
I really need.
So you are making assumptions you are making more assumptions than we are because we have experiments performed and you do not. Have you performed any of the experiments that we have talked about yourself to prove the Earth is a globe?
Well, I can name you plenty of experiments.
Have you performed any experiments that you are capable of performing on your own?
Honestly, I would need a lot of funding because these tests
sometimes
are
it takes
expensive.
A woman's
no, touch. You don't.
We piddle around for 3 hours, and Casey comes right into the heart of the problem.
Well, on the answer you should be saying right now is no, I have not.
Well, I'm quite happy for him to quote experiments that someone else has done. He doesn't have to done them himself. If he's got an experiment, someone else has done
the claims. You're making the claim we're on a spinning ball, so the burden of proof is on you.
Well, just like, for instance...
I don't think we should be arguing over who should be doing what experiment. We should be arguing over the fact that we have somebody here who says, show me an experiment, but I haven't done any...
And let's clarify this for the record here. When we claim that the Earth is rotating, the only thing we need to show you is that the science has shown that it's rotating. We don't have to. We have no other onus other than that. I can show you a textbook and something reputable that says the Earth is spinning. We're done at that point. We don't have to break down the math. That's been established science for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So we don't have to show you or any other flat earther that the Earth is spinning. In science, this is the paradigm that exists. The onus is on the person attacking the paradigm, not the people supporting the paradigm. So you have it backwards, and you're burden shifting on that.
Well, right, Steve. You're not wrong. Steve, you're not wrong. The point is there are experiments that he can do himself that do not require a lot of funding. Well, and if he would do those, perhaps he would see the things that we're talking about because he clearly does not trust scientific experiment. I agree with you, Steve. You're completely right. But he can do these things on his own without funding. Very simple things. And he is neglected to do those things, yet makes assertions that oppose the science that these experiments have proven. So my recommendation to you, Wotan, is to go out and do these experiments because you do not need a lot of funding to do them.
We'll send you
like
one.
A string doesn't cost that much.
Will you do it? If we send you one, will you do it?
Send me what?
An experiment.
We'll pay for it. You perform
very inexpensively.
To prove the flat Earth.
Just so that you can actually do an experiment that we're talking about here, so that you have some kind of experience to say, oh, hey, look, this doesn't actually work in reality. As of right now, you're saying, oh, that doesn't work at like Coriolis effect. That doesn't work in reality. Have you done an experiment? No, I haven't. Well, then how do you know it doesn't work in reality? Oh, I'm pulling it out of my ass. That's exactly what has just happened.
I know a sniper myself, and he admits that he does not take into account for the Coriolis effect. That's one of the proofs. We're not going to allow that.
I know snipers. They'll say the absolute bullshit. That's bullshit what you just said. Yeah. So we're not going to bring in anecdotal evidence from some friend that you have no name that's not going to buy balls enough to come in here and talk to us. If you have a sniper right now that will want to come in and say he doesn't adjust for the Coriolis effect, that's fine. But if you don't bring up anecdotal crap like that.
You can get software for your phone that allows the Coriolis effect. There are numerous videos on YouTube by snipers saying the software that they use and the tables they use. This is an established, they use it for gunnery and artillery as well. And since the First World War, they've used machines actually inside battleships and things in the First World War to allow for the Coriolis effect. This is established historical fact.
I want to answer to the question of, Walton, if we purchase you an experiment, whether it proves the flat Earth or the round Earth, whatever it proves, you just share the results with us. Would you be willing to do that?
Sure.
I'd like to give him a theodolite so that he can go out to get someone a high building and look at the dip angle.
What is the cheapest theodolite you could get?
You can rent it. You can rent it for about $50, I think, for a day. And you can see, therefore, what the dip angle is to the horizon. And you yourself could measure the radius of the Earth with just a few hours of activity and spending some time, $50, or borrowing a theodolite or having one given to you. You could establish, you could come back and say, this is my radius of the Earth experimental calculation yourself.
Well,
I had no idea you could rent one. I wouldn't even know where to begin.
We'll do that for you.
But that's awesome.
Well, okay, Ruppus, well, I don't disagree with you, but I'm wondering, Wotan, what particular globe Earth experiment, like if you were to do it, like which one do you think that you could reasonably actually do, like, accurately?
globe Earth experiment.
Well, the theodolite one you can do accurately.
Either prove it.
Or somebody point out you can actually get one on. You can actually get phones that actually act as a theodolite. So
yeah, they're not accurate enough.
I know, but yeah, whatever.
They're not quite good enough.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that.
John's got a good question. Let him get an answer to that one.
All I'm saying is like one of our experiments, an experiment that proves how the Earth is a sphere. Which experiment do you reasonably think that you would be able to do? We've mentioned a lot of them here tonight. There's going up to a high place and dropping an object, like maybe a tennis ball or something like that, and trying to judge the distance in which it moved. You could do the poles and the shadows if you wanted to, but I don't know if you'd be able to really measure the angles accurately.
You need the two places for that as well.
You need three or more.
You need three, preferably. Right. To invalidate the flat. Yes,
you have to have three or more, right?
That experiment also works on a flat Earth with the poles.
No, not with three, it doesn't.
Not with three.
We're going to find one. We'll look into it.
With two, yes, but with three, it would invalidate. It would actually demonstrate that it's an impossibility on a flat Earth model. Go try it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to send you something, and despite whatever you claim that it comes out to be, we want you to share those with us back on here. You know,
you notice that, though? He's fine with saying, look, with Aristophanes 2, it doesn't do anything. But as soon as you point out that, hey, well, as soon as you add another one, yes, now it disproves.
It
disproves flat Earth. They're like, oh, well, all you got to do is go do that. It literally disproves flat Earth. In fact, you can look at it. You don't even have to go do the experiment. You can just do it on graphics and show using the angles that it disproves it.
Yeah, the trouble is to do experimentally, you do need three very widely spaced poles. So you need to have three. You need to do it with some pals or something. You also need to be on the same longitude.
Exactly.
Well, so a couple of it is a bit more difficult. Just doing it at theodolite, going out to sea, and just doing a quick 1 hour peek at the horizon is the easiest and quickest way of establishing the radius of the Earth.
Yep.
Well, and there's the pendulum thing too.
Yeah, the Foucault pendulum.
That's just a string and a weight, basically.
Yeah, right, when a guy went there and he asked them how it works, it says that they have to fine tune it every so often because
how it actually works. There's more than one out there, and it depends on where you're. Don't get me wrong, but it does change a little bit, obviously,
with latitude.
Latitude, right? So,
that's right.
So it depends on which where they have to add more energy into the system.
When they first build it, they have to actually put it into motion, otherwise it doesn't.
No kidding.
Work.
What's it going to do? Sit there? No kidding. You think it's going to go
spontaneous?
Why not?
Put it
into
motion. Why not? It's spinning, right? The Earth is spinning.
Wotan, I've got an explanation for that. The Coriolis force is a function of velocity. If something is not moving, the Coriolis force, and the equations for the Coriolis force on something require it to have a velocity. It's a function of the velocity. So it doesn't have any velocity in the inertial in the Earth's rotational frame, it will not have any effect. It has to be moving. In other words, it has to be swinging, and then it will affect the swing. Right. If it's not swinging, then it will not have an effect.
A mechanical
Wotan, if I shoot a missile up, the Coriolis effect doesn't have effect. If I shoot it toward a direction like to the south, then the Coriolis effect takes into play. So it has to be a velocity with respect to the frame of the Earth. If you're just in a stationary position with the frame of the Earth, you don't experience the Coriolis effect.
You're either allergic to facts or you're about to win an Academy Award.
Just mind-boggling.
I mean, one of those two things are going to happen.
Yeah, these bloopers think that they disproved all this stuff, but they don't even understand the concepts. And it still boggles my mind that they have the audacity to think that they know more than all the people that have gone to school to study this stuff.
Dunning-Kruger
to an extreme. There's got to be something even more than DK. It's got to be DK times 10 or something. You know?
That I knew more than all you guys. I never said that, so don't put.
That's not very evident.
You've kind of demonstrated.
Yeah.
You've demonstrated that you think that you know more than us because when we explain these scientific concepts to you, and we explain them accurately, even with images and everything and examples, you tell us that we're wrong about it. So in a way, you have implied that you know more about all of this than us.
Well, whether you he denies the whole of science.
Yeah, pretty much.
When you prove space-time, you might have an argument. When you prove that you water can stick to the outside of a sphere, Wotan, you might have an argument. When you prove that a vacuum can exist adjacent to a pressurized system, you might have an argument. Until then, I'm just not going to believe you.
Wotan, let me give you a very fundamental thing in science, okay? Science does not prove anything ever. There is no such thing as scientific proof. It's a misnomer. Okay, science is not meant to prove. Science is meant to explain and predict. So as soon as you invoke words like proof, you automatically are basically not understanding how the scientific method works. Okay, because scientific facts can change. So I would avoid using the word proof. Demonstrate. Use the word demonstrate.
Oh, okay? At least demonstrate that it could be possible.
Sure. Something happened when you found out about evolution, or you know, you think you pinpointed something on evolution that made you rebel against all other science. And you're not the first example of people that have done that. I mean, you see it time and time again. But one thing that you think doesn't set right instantly negates the rest of science. It's an amazing, I think, phenomenon.
When you look at science as a whole, you really look at it like it is like a religion. It's very dogmatic.
Let me explain.
Precipice of science, what science is, what science does, what science is supposed to do is absolutely the most beautiful thing you can imagine. The way Richard Feynman explains science, I think, is the most beautiful, eloquent, simple, dramatic way that you could look at science.
So where's our problem?
I love science. The problem is when you have humans with egos, with monetary interests,
you want to talk about egos?
The peer review process eliminates that. Let's say you have a scientist who has a published paper.
They'd be refuted, so they're gonna do everything they possibly can.
The peer review process eliminates the problem you've just described about egos.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
When it comes to money, I guarantee it. If I approached like my friend Dr. Hermes, who's watching right now, if I approached him and said, "Hey, I have absolute evidence that evolution is wrong, that the whole theory is wrong, and I can demonstrate it to everybody," and we did. Do you know how much money we would get funding-wise? It would be off the freaking charts. Not even just from the creationist group and the DI groups, right? They would as well, but the scientific community holy crap.
That's what you think, but when it comes to things like gravity and evolution, when it comes to things that are so huge, like gravity and
gravity. Gravity
and the round Earth is not going to be.
What about time?
Let him finish his thought, guys.
What about time?
When it comes to things that such as huge things like gravity and the round Earth, can you be quiet? When it comes to things like gravity and evolution and the round Earth, there's no peer-reviewed study that's ever going to come forth that's going to disprove that.
They could try, but they don't make it.
Because there's no evidence for it. Wotan, would you say that
it's proven that time can change was a big thing? That was established. That was rock solid. Everybody abused Einstein. They didn't accept that for 20 years.
Right. I mean, that upset the apple cart because
how big is that?
Relativity.
The hard thing is to hear him say ego, though, because it's the ego that believes that we couldn't have gotten here by an evolutionary process, that there had to be some maker that took the time to create us and put us in the center of the universe and have the sun and the moon revolve around us. That's ego. Science is the complete opposite.
Science doesn't care if that's true or not.
Right.
You could look up a guy
named James Tour, who is absolutely the most eloquent guy I've ever heard. Let John go. He's been trying to get a word in for like five minutes here.
But James Tour, I will tell you this before he even says this. James Tour has said, stop using his name to people, because he has said specifically that he is not a biologist. Okay, and that he has no understanding of macroevolution, and he's tired of people invoking his name in these types of arguments. So I want to throw that out there before he even starts talking about James Moore.
All right, John, go ahead.
Okay, so Wotan, I would like a real world example of science-based dogmatism. Like, what is a real world example of somebody that's using science and being dogmatic about it?
9/11.
That's not.
Can you please expound on that, please?
Well, I know for a fact, because I'm actually a welder, so I know for a fact that aluminum can never, ever penetrate steel. It's just completely impossible.
That's not science. Oh, my.
Right. Well, the NIST report, the National Institute of whatever the fuck it stands for, says that aluminum is penetrating steel, and it says that jet fuel is melting the beams, and not melting, but it's making them sag, and they sag, and the whole building falls.
I'm the only person here who's actually worked with jet fuel, I think. I'm the only person here who's actually worked with jet fuel, I think. Is there anybody else who's worked with jet fuel?
Okay. I mean, I haven't.
Put out fires with jet fuel.
I do not want to go into it.
But hang on. He's talking about something that's so goddamn
ridiculous.
Outrageous. He doesn't understand structural integrity. And he doesn't understand how a loss of structure integrity can occur at higher temperatures, especially when you have polystyrene and polyethylene and other types of things affecting the actual fuel, right, and causing higher temperatures to increase.
Well, and also you don't have to melt steel right. beams in order to get them to bend or compromise exactly. their structure.
It's not going
to
fall. It's not going to free fall. It's not going to free fall. It's not going to happen. Okay, so, it goes against
what's your evidence to say that?
What are we talking about so right now? Here's my question.
We're talking about science.
Kyle's still dripping on the
chair. This isn't flat earth.
Yeah, I think Kyle's right here.
We're talking step about science being dogmatic conspiracy. And spewing false.
Hey, step the fuck away from conspiracy theory for a goddamn second. Give a real world example of science being dogmatic, not conspiracy theory. An actual
that's
real
science thing. Being dogmatic. Science is telling you that airplanes are flying 500 miles an hour.
He doesn't
that
know what science is. Casey. I mean, how do
not
you?
Science. That's not science. It's not science.
This is a waste of
this report, the National Institute of Science and Technology is not science. What are you talking about?
You know, that's a good question. Have you ever met a flirter that isn't a waste of time? Because if it is, I'd like to know who they are.
Name
a study. This is not a flat earther.
Well, he thinks it's a flat earther.
It's not a flat earther.
Well, I mean, right now it seems more
conspiracy. How is the National Institute of Science?
This is what flat earthers are like, Kyle. Flat earthers also tend to be anti-science, anti-gravity, anti-logic, anti-space, anti so much, and bet into all sorts of conspiracies.
Well, he hasn't given us one evidence for why he's a flat earther. That's my point. Like,
let's get out of the way real quick.
He has not given us one reason to think he's a flat earther.
Wait, let's
give us a reason to believe that he's everything else under the sun, including a 9/11 truther. There's not one evidence for why he believes in a flat earth. Not one.
What shape is the earth? Let's get out of the right way. What shape is the earth? And please don't answer. I don't know. Come on. You have an idea of what you think the shape is. What do you think the shape of the earth is?
It's flat.
Oh, there you go. So he's a flat earther. Like I said.
No. Why?
No.
Well, why does it matter? He is a flat earther.
No, then we why? Why?
Because planes are not going around upside down all around the earth.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, can I please show my up and down diagram again, please? Can I show my up and down diagram again?
No. Well, no, there's no reason to repeat the information. But Votan, I got to know something. Are lizard people real? No. I mean,
no,
that is a
obviously no.
Oh, that one he doesn't accept.
How are they? Well, hold on now. How are they obviously not? Now, I've seen plenty of YouTube videos where they've zoomed in on like Donald Trump's eyes as well as other political figures and major figures. What makes that a not true thing, but yet like 9/11 is true?
What makes unicorns not true? We have video of unicorns flying around
unicorns than I believe that unicorns exist more than I believe somebody that thinks in the terms that you do would exist. Like there has to be a unicorn now somewhere running around.
You know, we've got videos of the earth, don't you? We've got pictures from space of the earth being spherical.
Fake.
They're all fake.
I need fuck Xanax on a Pez dispenser.
I mean, I honestly can't understand how you can't.
I gotta get some weed or something after this. I'm gonna join Kyle's camp.
I can't see how you can't look at every picture of the Earth and not think it's fake.
I have
because you're not an idiot.
Yes, Casey. We're gonna let Casey have the last word here.
Did you say there is video evidence of unicorns?
Sure. Turn on the movies. Turn on. Oh, there you go. Right there. You got a unicorn.
That is perfect. That is
unicorns.
Yeah.
I believe unicorns.
For the first time in 3 hours, I felt hope again.
Yeah, you see the movie Legend? They're in there.
For the first time in 3 hours, I
feel
hope
again. That's the gayest unicorn.
Legend? Like the Will Smith post-apocalyptic movie?
No. The movie was
you need
safe.
To drink, Kyle.
You can't try to make a point with that on your head. So just
I think I can.
The glory of everything
there's
that
literally
is
that. A point on his head. So
as unicorns exist right there.
Touché.
There's video proof.
So like did we ever get a final answer on what makes lizard people crazy but 9/11 conspiracy
is? I don't think you get a final answer on anything, John. Nothing.
I think that I think there's probably more evidence for reptilians out there than there is flat earth even. Maybe
well, I mean, Votan, what
No.
Why do you think the reptilians aren't real, but yet 9/11 and Flat Earth is? Like, what is the fundamental difference there between the two?
Because 9/11, they're falling at free fall speed, which violates every fucking law of physics.
Okay, hold on. No, well, that's not
the steel. The steel beams underneath, they're in perfect condition. You're telling me that a plane hitting at the top of the building
not the difference.
And makes the whole building collapse. Building seven falls for no reason.
Talking lizard people, you're talking building and structure.
The entire complex falls for no reason.
Okay.
Maybe it did. What does that have to do with your point, though? Like, maybe it was an inside job.
Science being dogmatic and telling us lies, and that's exact example, the perfect example.
Science had nothing to do with. Let's say let me grant you that it was an inside job. Okay, let me grant you that. Okay, what would that have to do with science if it came out that it was proven that it was an inside job? Science would have nothing to do with a 9/11 inside job. Well, nothing.
The National Institute of Science has nothing to do with science.
Okay. No, hold on. But you still didn't.
Science is not an organization.
The they're fundamental using science difference between to give the two. You lies. That's what I'm saying. They're giving you science. What? They're telling you planes are flying 500 miles an hour with science, and it's a lie. What are you talking
don't know
about?
What science
okay,
is.
So what science proves lizard people aren't real?
I don't need to disprove.
Are you disputing like, that planes fly at 500 miles an hour, Wotan?
Same reason you don't need to disprove
you. 500 miles an hour, Wotan. Are you disputing planes fly at that now?
At that altitude.
What?
Oh my god, hold on, let's get this right. So hold on, so you're now disputing that aeroplanes don't go up to what, 30,000 feet?
No, at that altitude that
what
they
altitude?
Crash
what's at. That altitude? Please tell me what that altitude is.
A few thousand feet, what was that, 1,500 feet, 1,200 feet?
Sorry, could you make it clear what you're claiming? Are you saying that aeroplanes can't fly more than 1,000 feet up, is that it, or a few thousand feet?
No, at that speed, at that
what's
altitude.
That speed? Please stop saying that.
500 what's miles an hour. Actually, I was a little bit fast. I think NIST said it was like 520 miles an hour they were flying. It's absolutely absurd.
You're talking about 9/11 again, or you just talking generally? I haven't quite worked out whether you're talking generally or about 9/11 again.
In general, a 747
what?
Cannot fly at that altitude at that speed. It's impossible.
What prevents it from flying that fast?
Could you please put a sentence together that doesn't have the word that in it?
At
say,
the altitude that the World Trade Center is. I'm sorry, I don't know the exact feet up that it was. I'm sorry,
right.
I don't know.
You're claiming that
it's over 1,000 feet. That's all
so you're
I
claiming that Boeing 737 cannot fly at a few thousand feet up at 500 miles an hour. Is that correct?
Hey, John.
I don't even think it was 2,000 feet. It was less.
Yeah.
You know that whole not believing in God thing?
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel like I need to be praying to something.
Well, a hat there, I think.
Votan, you still have not revealed the fundamental difference between lizard people conspiracy and 9/11 trutherism.
Why do I need to lizard people? Why do I need to prove unicorns? Why do I need to prove fairies? I don't understand what you're trying to be like facetious. You're trying to be condescending. I feel like
I feel like you guys are trying to make
a spectacle of me, and I'm not really.
You have done that all over.
I'll be the first
own.
To admit they're not a great analogy, but I do understand John's point. I mean, he's obviously making the point that what makes one any less batshit than the other.
Where's your line?
I'm trying to figure out what the fundamental difference is.
It's the same reason why you don't believe it. Why don't you believe lizard people?
Well, I mean, I don't believe lizard people because there's no evidence for it, but there's also no evidence for a flat Earth. There's no evidence to 9/11 trutherism. So, I mean, like, mine's consistent.
There's even more evidence for 9/11 truth. 9/11 is just, if you believe 9/11, then you're just absolutely the most deluded human being on the face of the Earth.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask one question? Were you around?
Do you listen to Alex Jones? Do you listen to Alex Jones?
No, I don't. He's an idiot.
Okay.
So of all the people on the panel, we all believe that 9/11 happened as it was described to happen.
Well, sir, because you're global.
So, Wotan, the only deluded person in this panel is you.
Alex Jones is an idiot tonight. I can live with that.
I could get into the atmosphere, how it was impossible in a vacuum, if you want.
Yeah, that's something I would like to discuss a bit further. But, you know, God, I mean, the trouble is, the explanation I gave to you about why the atmosphere is denser towards the surface of the Earth as opposed to up is the only explanation for that is gravity.
No, but it just the very formation of the atmosphere to begin with, you have a bare naked rock flying around in a vacuum. How can an atmosphere
have a moment in life, ladies and gentlemen, where you just... wonder well, how you got to where you are.
bad choices in life.
Hold on. Wotan, you deny the existence of gases, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, carbon dioxide, etc. You don't believe they exist. Because
Wolfgang, that's stop speaking, please.
When did I ever say that?
For God's sake, stop speaking.
You said, where did this atmosphere come from?
You just won't quit, man. You just won't fucking quit.
It's worse than
these are basic elements, Wotan. And if you accept those basic elements, then they're going to go...
I actually fucking miss G-Man.
When G-Man is not the dumbest thing, then obviously something...
Let's go down. Let's go down the list of everything that gravity does. Gravity makes planets round. Gravity makes galaxies. Gravity makes black holes. Gravity makes stars go around the galaxies. Galaxy makes planes go around the curve of the Earth. Galaxies makes water go up with the tides from the moon.
Wait,
gravity
galaxies?
Gravity makes the moon go around the Earth. Gravity makes the planets go around the sun. Gravity makes the sun go around the galaxy.
Gravity does everything, every little fucking thing in the universe.
So if you disprove gravity, if you disprove gravity, your whole entire world, your whole entire universe is completely wrong.
Stand on some scales.
Your whole theory of gravity, I would like to point out real quick that I've had a bottle of vodka here for about a couple of months
and I just cracked it open and drank it today. So.
That officially makes you...
We're all slightly losing the will to live.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, so Wotan, do you understand why gravity is important to the whole atmosphere and vacuum problem that you seem to have?
I think he does understand that because he realizes it's important.
He seems to have accepted that gravity is an important thing.
John, before you came in, I asked him. Look, it. We all accept that mass and gravity are related. Obviously, if you have mass, you have gravity. They're intricately related to each other, right? Intrinsically so. So we asked him, well, what is producing gravity? There's a force, right? Well, I'll defer to the Newtonian thing. So it's a force in Newtonian physics. What's producing that if not mass? Go ahead and tell us your answer on that, Wotan.
The acceleration.
If it's not mass, what produces gravity?
I don't know.
He was here. Electrostatics, maybe.
Yeah,
electromagnetics.
I said maybe. Don't hold me to that. I said maybe. I just said those are theories that are out there.
No, there's no maybe there. That's complete fucking stupid.
Don't you all think that him saying "I don't know" is a perfect place to end this shit? I'm just saying.
Right, just because I don't know doesn't mean that you know, and just because I don't
but
know,
but I do know.
We've done experiments. We've done experiments.
We all
know because you won't educate yourself. You don't know because you won't perform experiments. If you will not do these things, everything you think is an assumption.
That's it. Look, I didn't want to do this, Wotan, but there's only one thing that we can do with you from this point on now, and that's we're going to have to bring Aaron Ra into this to ultimately splice out what you think. He's the only professional I think capable of.
It's funny because I used to use his videos to promote atheism back then, so it'd really be funny and kind of ironic for me to be on the opposite.
Oh no, listen, my friend, you will not be saying funny when that whole thing.
I'd just like to say I've been quite restrained in all of this.
I don't think I meet his debate criteria.
I have to give Rumpus credit here. Rumpus has been more restrained than I've ever seen him in these types of discussions, and I want to give you full props. Especially, it's got to be what, 3 o'clock in the morning for you right now?
It is a bit late, so I'm going to get
a bit nervous. I
have a question. Rumpus, you choose this to be your most restrained?
I asked him before he came in. At least don't go full Rumpus, but you know, Rumpus, fuck it, do what the fuck you got to do.
I just slightly go a bit loud and a bit noisy and a bit more abusive. But I think you've got a misunderstanding of me, Steve. You must be remembering me from different debates or something, because I tend to call people idiots and things such as this.
Well,
guy's...
I mean, full Rumpus, you tend to get bogged down in myopic detail to the point of being so pedantic that everybody just kind of falls asleep.
Thanks, Steve. You're great.
But it's not wrong. I mean, I'm not saying that you're wrong, right?
I think we have to bear in mind as a conclusion, this guy basically is anti-science, is denial of all the hundreds of documents of academic literature, all those thousands of scientists experimenting with gravity, atmosphere, astrophysics, the pictures of NASA, all these millions of people around the world who have to deal with GPS, geography teachers, all these people. He must think that half the people he encounters are in some sort of conspiracy against him and feeding him misinformation. The flat Earth thing for him is probably the least of his problems, as far
Amen.
As I can see.
That is the truest statement that has been made.
I don't
tonight.
Believe that the scientists are in on the conspiracy. They just been fooled.
Oh, like but so they just got the evolution. Math all wrong. Fuck them. They're not in the conspiracy. They just can't do math.
Everyone, stop talking. You are not allowed to. You are not allowed to engage anymore. We have got to find a goddamn resting point for this.
Yeah. So, By the way, so people do want to talk about this more on an after show. I don't care if we do an after show.
What's wrong with you people?
Because people love this shit. These people are masochists as fuck. Let's be realistic, right?
They like the punishment.
I don't know. Do you guys want to? I don't really care. I don't know.
I will be drooling in like 45 minutes.
It hurts. I know it hurts after a while.
You need to go out for a run, Carl. Go out for a run or something. Do some exercise. Do some press ups.
If I start running now, I will never come back. This will be the last time that I will be seen on camera.
I love after shows. Don't get me wrong, but in this particular case, I don't know what the fuck the after show would be about.
I've got to go cook dinner, so I don't have time for.
He's a denier of
science, basically. Votan, thanks a lot for trying. I don't know what the hell.
I'd like to conclude, because you guys are probably just going to kick me out. So I'll conclude
with you.
You have
Skype.
you have no experiment for water around the object. You have no experiment.
That's not one you're going to get away with. What did we kick you out of?
No, he said
We kicked you out two and a half hours ago.
How can this escape? How the fuck did I kick you out? Not on Skype.
And he kicked me out. I forgot. I got mixed up. I forgot that it was a Skype, not a Google Hangout, because Steve McCraig did kick me out of a Google Hangout because I was just about to ask Aaron Ra. It's funny because I was just about to ask Aaron Ra if he has an experiment, and then bang, I just got kicked out right there.
Hey.
Oh, that was the reason you got kicked out.
That was the exact moment that I got kicked out. I said, do you have an experiment?
The stream is over. We've listened to your shit for 2.5 fucking hours.
Oh, you're done now, Wilton. I can't help you now.
Bullinator said he's going to do the after show on Discord. He'll stream to the Great Debate Community channel. If you guys have not subscribed to the Great Debate Community channel, go find it. It's out there. It's one of my channels, but it's not the Steve McCray channel, but it's called the Great Debate Community channel. Bullinator. He does a great job running it, and we'll be on Discord. But let's use the non sequitur Discord, Bullinator. You guys, do we have the Discord in the video description?
Yeah, it's in there.
All right, so the Discord we're going to be using is the non sequitur show Discord, and then we'll either stream to the great. Do you want to stream to this channel? You don't want to stream to this channel, don't you?
No. All these are shows.
Yeah. So we'll stream to the Great Debate Community channel. Go check that one out. So
tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Egyptologist, if I'm here, I cannot attest to the fact that I will be in any condition.
If we haven't all floated out into space because gravity's not there.
At a point in my life right now where I either need God or a therapist, and I'm going to lean on my atheist friends to keep me out.
Once you start down this road of flat Earth, it'll change your life in ways that you just can't imagine.
This was not flat Earth. I would have given my right testicle.
It really kind of was. This is what all flat Earth devolves into. So
I don't know what this was.
Anti-science.
A big fucking dumpster fire. That's what this was. You can see it from space, like from the International Space Station.
Votron, what she's basically saying is your O-rings were leaking.
The goddamn hangout that never ended. The stream that never ended.
This is ending on that, because if people don't get that joke, fuck them.
I would like to say, I have something serious to say. I want to give a really big special thanks to all the guys and lovely gals that were involved with the questions that Christians can't answer. We're getting a lot of feedback from that. Some very salty Christians that didn't like it too much, but those are the ones that we did it for the most, so... keep paying.
Make sure you have a really shitty comment on this video, because we're going to take the worst one and pin it to the top. So that could be you.
What's going to be ironic, because life isn't fair, is that this will probably be the most watched.
Before I forget, though, people have been wondering. I got to do this, but Kyle and I were both sent free copies of this book by Dr. Hugh Ross, so we can actually read it and be educated on it for our discussion with him. I thought that was very polite of Anastasia from Reasons to Believe to do that. I've been looking through it in kind of a little bit, heavy into science, like I expected, but I'm going to do a fair job and objectively kind of like read it, because I happen to like you. So,
Thank you, Dr. Ross.
Thank you, Anastasia, Reasons to Believe, and Dr. Ross for that.
Absolutely. We look forward to seeing you. If you guys decide to come back tomorrow night, well, we do not deserve it, but we will welcome it. If this is our last moment meeting, then I don't blame you. Run.
Get out while you can.
No experiments.
Did he just say no experiments and he checked out?
I gotta say, well, that was the greatest way to end ever. I hand it to you. Listen, you are either the greatest Poe on the planet or seriously disturbed on how things work. But either way, I'm in awe, man.
They're like this, I'm afraid. This is what they're like.
Of what I saw.
I still think it's better than G-Man, though.
It's not real, right? It's not real.
G-Man's worse, I'm afraid, Kyle. I think you'll find.
There's
a lack of malice, whereas G-Man is malicious, whereas I don't think that guy is.
You want me to stop the stream now?
What?
Are we still streaming?
Yeah, we're still streaming. It's okay. It's all good.
No fucking stupid.
Good night.
This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel, and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McCrae.